Hey everybody, it's episode 269 of PodQuest.
Nice.
It's Wednesday, October 16th, 2019. I am Chris. With me is Druten.
Hello.
And Walnut.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
You know.
Alright. It's raining.
Yeah, it's kind of a miserable day.
I mean, I don't think
it's been a while since it's, like, rained around here.
It has, and we would know this because every road fucking floods when it rains, and it hasn't really flooded a lot lately, so that is true.
That's true. I spent 4 days in California where it was just nice. Every day.
Fuck you.
Like, it was 80. It felt like 75, because there was always a nice breeze. There were no clouds at all. I didn't see a cloud the whole time I was there.
But then there were also no crops because it doesn't rain over there.
No, I mean, we went...
And everything was on fire.
We went to Southern California... Actually, the fire wasn't anywhere near us. We went to Southern California wine country, where there's just a stretch of highway where there's 70-some-odd vineyards. Mm-hmm. It's like you're just driving down this highway, and it's nothing but fields of grapes and big, like, fancy-ass buildings.
Isn't that where, like, Martha's Vineyard is or whatever?
No,
Martha's Vineyard is in Rhode Island.
No, it's in Massachusetts.
I thought it was off of Rhode Island.
No, it's off of Mass.
Well, I mean, Massachusetts and Rhode Island are basically the same place anyway. I think Martha's Vineyard is, like, in between the two.
I know there's a famous vineyard in that area or something.
Are you thinking of Sonoma?
I don't know.
Sonoma,
Napa
and
Valley.
Something else are Northern California. Yeah. They're north of San Francisco.
That's too much.
This is south of Los Angeles, where we were. Temecula. That's
too much. Is that near the Catalina Wine Mixer?
No, Catalina is, I think, actually up near San Francisco. I might be wrong, though.
You might have actually been near Catalina.
I might have been. But yeah, it was just nice all the time. And then we came home, and it was kind of just miserable, and it was kind of a bummer.
Hey, it hasn't really been that miserable.
Yeah, but keep in mind, it was, you know, 75 to 80 degrees, no humidity, nice breeze, no clouds for 4 straight days.
Yeah,
that's why everything's on fire.
I came home, and it was just wet and muggy and gross.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Northeast Coast, the London of the United States.
No, the London of the United States is the Northwest Coast, where it actually rains all the time.
Seattle.
Yeah.
In October, it's the London of the East. The London.
It's still Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, like Seattle is basically...
It's probably raining in Seattle right now.
Seattle's kind of like Florida, where
it
rains every day. It's not always a rain like we got today. It's usually just, you know, wet outside. Like, I don't know that their streets are ever not...
True.
You know.
Yes, it rained today, is going to rain tomorrow, and Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday in Seattle. They will not see the sun until Wednesday for another week.
It sucks to be in Seattle.
Apparently, it's a really nice place.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, it's just wet all the time. You have to have a really good umbrella.
And they probably go through a few a year.
I don't know. If you have, a good umbrella and you take care of it, you're probably good.
And who takes care of an umbrella?
People in Seattle. They get rain 150 days a year.
Jesus.
So, basically every other day.
That's too much rain.
Well, the other 150 is snow.
No, because I don't think it ever actually really...
Since they're right on the
Puget Sound there and kind of not far from the ocean, I'm pretty sure it's just kind of, always, 50.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like San Francisco where... Because they're in the bay and they're kind of surrounded by mountains and all, the weather is very rarely above 75 and below 55.
Okay.
They have a period in August where it's 90 to 100 for a week. And I think there's a period in February where it's 35 to 45 for a week. And otherwise it's just kind of like for us, it would be nice the whole year.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people out there, they wear jackets all year because it's not quite. They're not quite used to actual cold, so they just think that is kind of cold.
Yeah.
That's people that either are out there or have been transplanted out there for years.
I would probably never wear a jacket.
You say that now.
No.
But, you spend a decade out there, you'd probably change a little bit.
Maybe.
I'd bet you would.
Maybe.
Anyway. We got a little bit of news this week. Not much really happened.
No, it's kind of been so. I thought I saw stuff throughout the week that I wanted to share or talk about, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, I mean, you didn't add on here the Pokemon thing that you had a problem with.
Oh, well, we're just going to talk about it when it comes naturally. Like, right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not on the list, so it's not going to come naturally.
Well, I mean, it came naturally right now, right?
I had to call you out on missing it.
But Pokemon, they released a trailer for their new games, and they... I haven't actually watched the trailer, but I know they mostly showcased the Dynamaxing.
I saw there's a really long Meowth.
I'm sorry, was it Dynamaxing Meowth? Or Gigantamaxing?
Gigantamaxing, or it might be I don't know.
I thought it was Gigantamaxing, but now I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't.
Because they're two different things.
I have no idea. But they showcased their new feature for these games.
Pikachu's fat again.
Pikachu is...
I heard he's very thick.
He's thick and it's adorable, but like one thing that kind of grinds my gears about this.
Okay, Peter.
Is like they're giving all of these all of these Pokemon a different look when they're giant. When they could have used the space and the resources to put all the fucking Pokemon in the game.
He's coming around to the dumb shit of not having every Pokemon
in game. Like, I was fine with it when I thought, oh, they're just up-resed models. No, they're different fucking models. Yeah, Charizard has fucking diamonds on his chest and shit like this.
But, so think about it this way. Not every Pokemon can Dynamax or Gigantamax. Not everyone can do it. It's the same thing as the... Ultra Evolution?
Mega Evolutions.
Like, Mega Evolution, the Pokemon's form physically change. You also have to keep in mind, to do every Pokemon, like, let's even say that 100 Pokemon in this game can Dynamax or Gigantamax and have different sprites, or models, because I guess they're not really sprites anymore. To add in the other 800 Pokemon that are in the game, that's at least 300 moves that probably aren't in the game yet. There's the, what are those things called? The, like, abilities, like, when they come out and, like, they automatically do, like, aggression and you can't, your opponent can't leave the fight anymore. I forget what that thing's called.
I know what you're talking about. But you're, like, your base traits and what,
I think it is called ability.
Yeah, okay. Your ability.
There are so many specifics to each Pokemon that it's not just the model that, like, it's not so much the space that was giving them an issue. Because there's always requiring a download to just have it take up space. Other games have done that. Dragon Quest XI, I think it is. Maybe not Dragon Quest XI, because that just came out. There was a game within the first year of the Switch that you could not play it if you didn't have an external memory card. Because between the cartridge itself and the Switch, there was not enough memory to hold it.
I think that was the NBA 2K19.
That was probably one of them, but there was also like a big RPG.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Skyrim? I don't remember.
That wouldn't shock me.
But yeah, it's not just the storage issue, it's the time issue. Like, for them to model all 900 Pokemon...
But, let's say we have already 600 Pokemon in the game. And now they took the time of the 200 that can probably Gigantamax. That's now 200 that are not in the game that they could have put into it. And just kept the same sprite models and shit like that.
But that's the thing. It's not just this. Like, the sprites themselves probably didn't take that long to make. And they only give them one new ability. It's all of the other stuff that they have to do.
But I get what you're saying. But I don't think you're getting... They now have to create that sprite. They have to animate that sprite. They have to do everything that they could have fucking done with the other fucking Pokemon on these new sprites.
But also... Why do you need all 900 in this game?
Why the fuck not?
Because you're never going to catch them all.
So?
Maybe you could.
Maybe you...
You've never been able to catch them all. Not since Red and... Gold and Silver, I think, was the last time you could, like, realistically catch them all in a playthrough without all sorts of help.
But, look, I'm not saying, like, all 900 need to be on both. I like that they have... Sword has specifics.
And that's always been the case.
Like, that's... Just to get that clear, I'm not saying Sword has to have all 900 Pokemon, but between the two, all 900 should be available. If they're going to spend the time creating new sprites for all the fucking, or for however many,
also, that I can think Gigantamax. There's maybe 50 Gigantamax, if that.
Are you sure they all can? Have they said not all of them can?
Yeah, in one of the first trailers, they said not all Pokemon will be able to do this.
Because I think it's dumb that you're going to have, like, the first evolution of the starters and Eevee be able to Gigantamax, but not, say, Heracross or...
I mean, it was the same thing with Mega Evolution.
But Mega Evolutions, it was always the third evolution.
Yeah, but it's still... So, the whole Gigantamaxing, Dynamaxing thing, and they're two different things, which we might even be getting them crossed, but I know they said that not every Pokemon can do it, It can only be done in certain situations, in certain locations. And it is basically the same thing as the Mega Evolution.
Yeah. But so, I just, to me, it like, it's kind of weird that like...
Look, I think there's only going to be maybe 250 Pokemon in this game, and I'm glad. I don't want 900 Pokemon in it.
Well, all right, so it's one thing to not have all of them actually physically be in the game, but another thing to stop people from using a service they're paying for to move the rest of them into that game.
And yes, I don't disagree with that, but I mean, and obviously the pay service makes it very different, but Ruby and Sapphire were completely segregated from everything before it. Like, anything that came about in Gold and Silver or Red and Blue were completely unavailable to you in Ruby. You couldn't get Gen 1 Pokemon that weren't just in Ruby until they released Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Sure.
So, but, like, yeah, but that was, fuck, but that since was, then, that was before we had the ability to do that.
Like, the last two Pokemon games they've put out, you can have all 807 fucking Pokemon in those games.
Yeah. But that they were also on basically the same hardware.
No,
they
didn't, can't you move them all over to Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu?
You can only move the original 150.
Is it only the 150?
Yeah. Yeah, you okay. And I think technically Meltan, maybe?
Yes. Meltan.
No, actually, I don't think you can put Meltan in the game. I think you can. You get Meltan from it. I don't know. So, if you move Pokemon from Go into Let's Go, it's only the original 150. And every time you do that, you get a mystery box that spawns a Meltan in Pokemon Go. I don't think you can put the Meltan into Let's Go. I might be wrong about that. I just never did it. I only have one Meltan, so I didn't see a point in doing it.
Maybe you should have more than one Meltan.
I mean, technically I could. I could just keep catching, like, fucking Pidgeys and just sending them into Pokemon Let's Go. But it's kind of frustrating. So the way that Let's Go did it, you don't just transfer them into the game. You have to transfer them in and then go catch them.
Yeah, I'm not.
And, like, it's not a guaranteed catch.
That's silly.
I should rephrase that. It's kind of like when you do the research breakthrough and for, like, a legendary. And you don't, it's not like the Mew where you get like the special balls to do it and you just have an unlimited chance. It's like anything else where you might have to go through 100 Pokeballs before it actually catches the fucking thing.
Well, yeah.
Same idea with the Pal Park bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't mind that. Like, I actually prefer not having that many Pokemon in the game.
Like, I understand not having them all available at start, but, and I'm holding on hope that, like, they'll have DLC, DLC release all the Pokemon over time.
Like, I would not be surprised if they did that. Like,
but
that is a way to make more money off your game by charging for DLC.
If they charge for all the Pokemon,
$10 a pack for each gen.
Yeah, I mean, a $25 season pass that adds the rest of the Pokemon, like,
I ain't down for it.
I mean, you're not, and I wouldn't, but there are people that would do it because they want to catch them all. And at least that would be a guaranteed way to catch them all. Because all you would need then is a friend with Shield or Sword, depending on what your version was, to trade you the version exclusives. And then if those packs have every Pokemon not in the game, it's no different than, like, fighter passes in fighting games. I mean, it's exactly a fighter pass in a fighting game.
Yes and no.
I mean, like, think about it.
Like, the difference is their reasoning for not having them at start, even though they're already pre-developed characters, just not pre-created in that game's system, was to make money. Whereas fighting games, yeah, probably...
It was to make money.
But, like, they might be developing these new characters. Like, all of the new DLC for Smash Bros. Are new characters that have never been in the game before.
So, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, every one of their packs have included characters that have been around for 30 years, that just weren't in the base game, but that were fan favorites. That the only way to get them is to pay for a fighter's pass or to buy them piecemeal.
And that's bullshit.
And I mean, that's fighting, like, that is 100% fighting games.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Fighters had made $1 billion fucking dollars probably off of releasing different fucking sizes of Goku. Yeah. There are 32 versions of Goku in that fucking game.
Like DLC bullshit.
But look, what if their DLC is actually, here's $30 DLC that every 6 months they release a new region. Sorry, I'm dealing with a little bit of a cold. So every 6 months, they release a portion of Kanto, and then a portion of Johto, Not the whole region. Not like a go do all of the gyms in that region. Just like, here's a stretch of that familiar region where you can go catch the Pokemon from Johto. If you're in Sword, here's the Pokemon that will show up. If you're in Shield, here's the Pokemon that will show up. Still keeps region exclusivity between them. Lets them make more money, gives you more area in the game, and gives you the rest of the Pokemon to catch.
I would be for that. I'm generally not against when they have added content like new areas to go to. The Marvel Ultimate Alliance DLC gave new story. I haven't gotten it yet, but it gave new story shit, and it gave like additional of the rifts to do and stuff like that.
And let's call a spade a spade. Pokemon is basically a fighting game with fucking a deep story mode.
Yeah,
because that's all that game's a. Like, you talk to characters and they tell you things, but really all that game is going from fight to fight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
Like,
it
your whole purpose is to go fight gyms and become the champion.
It's a fighting RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So, like, for them to do a fighting game, like, DLC model would not surprise me.
I mean, if it includes, like, areas added, yeah, and not just... We packed more randomness into the existing areas.
Yeah, if you're gonna pull a Monster Hunter on me and just be like, oh, we just never discovered this monster before today, and now here's this new monster. Oh, I can't complain about Monster Hunter because it's generally free. Like, if you're gonna do that with Pokemon and charge me however much they may charge me for, I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, give me a new region to go catch these.
I feel
new
like
Pokemon.
They did that before. I think it might have been Diamond and Pearl.
They've, as far as I know, they've never had purchasable DLC.
No, not that, but like the literal, like, oh yeah, you just did a thing, now all these other Pokemon are available.
That's fine.
I think in Diamond and Pearl, it was literally you beat the game. Once you've beaten the game and seen all 150 Pokemon from that generation that were like available at start,
they unlocked.
You could go talk to Professor Oak, get the national decks, and then all of a sudden, like, Pidgeys and Rattatas would start showing up.
Yeah.
In areas on the map.
Yeah, they did that, and I'm not against it. That's fine. Like, I'm more against, like, I'm paying you, and it's just like, oh, now they're here.
I mean, it would depend what they charge.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, I'm still of the mind that there's going to be a super limited amount of Pokemon that will Gigantamax and Dynamax versus the total in the game, and even if there's 50 or 100 of those that can do that, that's minuscule compared to how many are total... Like, in the full amount of Pokemon, and the amount of time it would take them to create all of that in a brand new engine, and then, like, play test it, balance it, all that stuff.
They have never balanced a Pokemon game, ever.
They're apparently balancing it for this one, because they're trying to make competitive Pokemon playing more.
Fuck that. It'll be balanced, quote-unquote balanced, the one time, it'll never be changed.
Look, and you're not whatever. Wrong, but they still put time into that.
Then you know what they could do? Stop giving me fucking Unova region-specific fucking fairy Ponyta.
That's and Galar region.
Galar region, whatever. And give me Zigzag, or the lightning horse.
I know who you're talking about.
Zebra or something.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I would rather have zebra, fucking right? Galarian Ponyta.
I would rather have regular fucking Ponyta.
Regular fucking Ponyta has been around for 30 years.
Yeah, and
it's tried and true. God damn it!
You're both fucking nerds, and you need to learn how to deal with change.
I know change is fine.
Get good.
It's just I like Fire Ponyta. I don't want.
You haven't even seen this one. He looks like a fucking pony covered in cotton candy.
Little Pony character.
It is.
He looks like he's full of cotton candy, though. And I just have a feeling that the Rapidash is going to be cooler looking than the Ponyta.
He better be.
Rapidash is always cooler looking
than
Ponyta.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, there are very few Pokemon that like start out too, like super cutesy that don't kind of evolve into something more badass looking. Like, your fairy types are kind of the exception. Your Chansey to Blissey, your... Clefairy to Clefable, like, but look at your starters, like, your original three starters. All adorable little Pokemon. Fucking one of them turns into a giant turtle with cannon. The other one turns into a flying dragon, and the other one just grows a fucking flower. He's lame. I'm only kidding, I like Venus. I prefer Bulbasaur, but, you know.
I don't know. I'm just
you're
a
being
little,
a nerd.
I'm a little bitter
you're
about
being
that.
A grumpy
I'm,
nerd.
I'm a little bitter about it, like.
You are being Twitter.
I know all
okay,
of,
Twitter.
I know, oh, I'm not being Twitter. Don't get me started on Twitter. Don't get me
don't
started
know.
On how pissed off I am at Twitter and Critical Role right now.
No, you know what the best part about Twitter is right now? Fucking Lady Gaga.
What's going on with Lady Gaga?
So, alright. Do you know what's happened with Fortnite?
Oh, the black hole.
Yeah.
And then the new season started yesterday.
And it's a new map.
And wasn't it like four days of black hole?
It was...
Three. I think it was Sunday, Monday. Or Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, it was a few.
And 12-year-olds around the world lost their fucking minds.
So I made sure to send... Like, I read an article about it. I made sure to send it to my friends, because his stepson plays it. I was like, just in case...
It would have been hilarious if they were just like, nah, we're fucking done with this game.
China made us do it.
Epic would not be. They would be so stupid to do that.
They are substantially, I believe, owned by Tencent, a 40%. Chinese corporation.
I'm not saying about the China comment. I'm saying about the, they would be so fucking stupid to just be like, we're done with Fortnite.
And no, but like, if China told them to, they would do it because that is a huge portion of their investment.
Yeah.
China would be stupid to do that. Like, Tencent would be making a huge monetary mistake, but...
Yeah.
So, that all happened, and Lady Gaga tweeted, what's Fortnite?
Yeah.
And I love you, Lady Gaga. No,
but it gets better. So, Ninja responded, give me a call, I will give you a million reasons to play Fortnite, you and me. And she then, like, quote tweeted it or whatever, and just responded, who are you?
Nice.
I love you, Lady Gaga.
Fuck
I love
Ninja. You so much. Actually, seems okay. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Like, Ninja is fine. Hit, like, whatever.
Yeah. No, I have no hate on Ninja. Ninja's a cool guy, but I love Lady Gaga for doing that. That's all.
Yeah, no, it's one of those like wholesome, like,
yeah.
It's like anything that Chrissy Teigen tweets. Yeah. Like, she tweets about Animal Crossing and stuff, and she wanted the Untitled Goose Game when that game came out.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But literally tweeted, "What is this goose game?" And then after a bunch of people responded to her, then said, all right, I have to wait for my husband, John Legend, to come home. I'm not allowed to buy things on my own.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. To real quick emphasize what I was saying about Twitter and Critical Role, I found out why I still haven't seen the Wendy's Critical Role.
Because they didn't archive it on YouTube.
They're not releasing it at all because the internet had an issue with them taking sponsorship money from Wendy's because Wendy's takes tomatoes from Mexico and not from the United States. And Wendy's is a supposedly shitty company. It's a fast food company. They all work their workers terribly. And Wendy's is a big company and Critical Role usually helps the little man. And why would they advertise this big company's thing? Fuck you, the internet. I want to see this hilarious content that I know they made and...
Is it not on like, the Twitch archives?
They took it down of everywhere. Because they... Such a big fucking stink was made. Because they don't follow an agricultural thing that most other restaurants do. And they don't... And they don't pay their employees that well so, because...
To be fair, Wendy's, multinational, international. There are fucking Wendy's in Mexico. Like... They're taking tomatoes from countries where they have restaurants.
Yeah.
It
makes me so mad because I want to watch, I know it was hilarious. From what I hear, people who have watched it said it was amazing. And I don't get to watch it because the internet complained and so they took it down. They're not releasing it. They're not taking any more money for it. And all the money that they already got for it, they donated to the Agricultural Society.
Yeah. You know what's something that's happened that doesn't have nearly the complaints I expected? Catwoman has been cast, or at least supposedly cast, for the Batman movie with Rob Pattinson.
Uh-huh.
Zoe Kravitz.
I don't hate it.
No, I mean, I've never seen anything that she was bad in. Granted, I haven't seen her in much, but I just expected people to be, you know, flipping out and angry because she's not, like, a pretty white girl.
Yeah, that's the internet for you, so I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen.
Oh, I am sure there are places on the internet where it's happened, but the usual places I see people getting all angry about stupid shit, I have not seen.
That's cool. That's good to hear. It's like, I've never hated her in anything. She was in First Class, right?
Yeah, she was Angel Salvador.
Yeah.
Who, she made it through that movie, but then was basically confirmed dead in Days of Future Past, because Mystique found her wings, like, pinned to a board in one of, Trask's facilities.
Right, yeah.
She had, like, the weird angel wings that became tattoos when she wasn't using them.
I thought they were more
not
like
angel
fairy
wings. Fairy wings,
yeah.
Sorry, her name was Angel, and I just mixed up words.
But she was good in that. I didn't know she was in Harry Potter. She was in the latest Fantastic Beasts.
She's, She had apparently a small cameo that I don't remember from Fantastic Beasts Part 1. And she was a Lestrange in the newest one.
And she is confirmed in the third one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a good casting call. Hopefully, I mean, I don't really know if it... I saw an article of somebody saying hopefully she can make it through the Catwoman curse. Because apparently everyone who's been Catwoman lost their career after they were Catwoman.
I don't know. Anne Hathaway's been in a bunch of stuff since 2012. And fucking Michelle Pfeiffer.
I know. So, I don't really... Like, it was a headline or, like, a part of an article that I was like, I'm done with this article as soon as I read that.
Halle Berry still had a career after 2003.
Yeah.
Like... She was a bigger star in, like, the 90s, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, she still had a, like, not, like, she did, like, more critical, like, movies, I think.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't doing blockbusters that were getting her, you know, all over the news, making, like, six figures or seven figures or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, she was more doing, like, things that, like, possibly were getting her nominations for shit. Like,
yeah.
That's the dumbest curse I've ever seen.
It is. It's the dumbest thing ever. I don't, like I said, it was either part of a headline or part of, like, a bold point for the top, for the article, that when I read that, I was like, I'm done with this. It's stupid. Somebody's hating on something dumb.
But yeah, so Kravitz already voiced Catwoman Selina Kyle in the Lego Batman movie.
Okay.
And also,
oh,
she's Aquaman's stepdaughter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because Zoe Kravitz is the daughter of Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Benoit.
Yeah.
Shit. The second oldest daughter from the Cosby Show that was part of a different world. And she is now married to Jason Momoa, who is Aquaman. So, you know, they're keeping the DC stuff in the family.
One more quick casting news. Somebody was casted for a role in Matrix 4.
Oh, you know what? I did see that briefly. It was Jada Pinkett Smith was cast at, was potentially being eyed for Nairobi, right?
I did not hear that. I heard Neil Patrick Harris is going to be in Matrix 4.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, NPH is going to be is cast in Matrix 4.
I mean, if we're talking about casting stuff, did you see the Arrowverse stuff about Batman 89?
No.
So this is super minor, but you guys both have seen Batman 89, right? The Michael Keaton Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kim Basinger plays Vicki Vale, the reporter. She has, like, a coworker or boss or whatever. It's a random other reporter guy.
Sure.
He's kind of, like, always, like, kind of up her ass about what she's doing and where she's been and stuff like that. Yeah. He wasn't, like, a bad character. Like, he was just that character. He is apparently cast in a small cameo role in Elseworlds, or not Elseworlds, Crisis.
Interesting.
And they showed a newspaper clipping that says Wayne to marry Selina Kyle with a picture of fucking Michael Keaton from Batman 89.
Awesome.
And it's apparently, like, the rumor is, like, coming off of, like, the set that world is Earth 89.
I don't hate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. There was, I saw another thing that, Stephen Amell shared on his Facebook. It was a picture of all the heroes from, because they're filming, I think they're still filming the, Crisis stuff right now, or maybe ending it soon, but his daughter's birthday just passed, her sixth birthday, and it was her and all the heroes, and somebody was redacted off of it. Like, he colored black over that. I'm like, who is it? Who is it? Who are we not allowed to know is going to be in this?
It's Chris O'Donnell as Robin with the nipple suit from Batman and Robin.
Okay.
I'd be okay with that.
I'll take it. No, it's...
they just gotta link everything together.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
I was gonna say, are they gonna get Arnold Schwarzenegger to be Mr. Freeze? Cause... You know,
I would be so happy if they did.
They also apparently literally just cast the Spectre, who is a DC character.
Okay.
So the Spectre is going to be in the crossover.
And
he was a big role in the original Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Okay.
And
the guy who plays Lucifer.
Yeah, Tom Ellis is apparently going to be Lucifer in the crossover.
Yeah.
Which could be a fantastic scene if they have him and Constantine interact.
Because they are both
fucking sassy British men.
Yes. Is the Lucifer that's now on Netflix, it was on Fox. Is that a DC show?
So it is a DC owned property.
Okay.
So, like, Lucifer is a DC comic. I think he's a Vertigo comic, which they got rid of Vertigo and now it's something else. It's
like DC Dark or something like that.
So, but, so he's not, to my knowledge, he's never been, like, part of, like, DC continuity. Like, he's not, like, interacting with Batman and shit like that.
Yeah.
But he is owned by them, and because this is Crisis on Infinite Earths, like, it is reasonable that his Earth is just a different Earth. And, okay. You know, his Earth doesn't have superheroes, it has fucking angels and demons.
You know what? I'm all down for that now.
And again, like, so Constantine and Lucifer were both part of Vertigo. Like,
yeah.
Constantine off and on, like, he's been in the main DC continuity, he's been Vertigo, like.
Yeah.
But, so, like, those two characters interacting, like, may have happened in a comic at some point. But regardless, like, that would just be, with the way both of those characters get portrayed on screen, would just be a fun fucking interaction.
I hope it happens. It has to happen.
How many episodes is all
five? Five?
Okay.
Because right. Black Lightning's not part of it, he's just part of it, right?
Hour-long episodes?
Yeah.
Okay, alright.
Yeah, it's 5 hours, and it's like, it's three and then two, so it's three, and then the break, and then right. Two more after.
Well, I was asking mostly from a, this sure sounds like a whole fucking lot of shit to fit into whatever, and I couldn't remember if it was three.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be a lot of the core people for the most part. With them just probably jumping between Earths, like, quick little cameos from different characters as, like, Earths are destroyed or whatever. And then I imagine the end of it is going to be this giant, just sort of battle where, kind of like Endgame, where it's just fucking everybody. Cause,
yeah.
If you can have a show with three fucking Supermen and a handful of Batmen, like, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
And Titans might cross into it, like, might cameo.
That would be interesting.
Like, it's a rumor, but it seemed like... Just
fucking bring it all in.
I mean...
Someone call Uma Thurman. Let's get fucking Poison Ivy. Let's get everybody in here. Get every DC property ever. Just throw them in there.
I mean, I think they got...
Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
So, if they have somebody from, like, the 89 Batman... Like, technically, the 89 Batman... Like, the four movies are all, like, the same continuity, I believe.
Yes.
Like, I think from Batman 89 through Batman and Robin, that's all supposed to be, like, the same
I don't know for sure.
I mean, I know at least, like, Batman and Batman Returns definitely are, and Batman and Robin and Batman Forever definitely are. Because Chris O'Donnell is Robin in both of them.
Right.
But also, same guy plays Alfred in all four.
Huh. I didn't remember that, but you're right.
Yep. I think Gordon might be the same actor in all four also, but I may be wrong about that. I know Harvey Dent is different, because in Batman 89, I believe it was Billy Dee Williams.
Yes.
And in Batman Forever, it's fucking Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
So.
No, those are definitely different people.
Dude, you know, it's a shame just because he's dead, but Michael Ansara, who did the voice of Mr. Freeze in the animated series.
Oh, he does such a good Freeze voice.
That would have been a cool, if he were still alive, for him to have appeared. But yeah. I mean, he's been dead for like 20 years. Like, he died in like 2000, 2001. Like, his last voice role was actually Mr. Freeze in Batman Beyond. And I think he won like a primetime Emmy for Heart of Ice.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, I mean, that was one of those, like, if I remember correctly, that episode was actually aired in primetime, and that was one of those, like, critically acclaimed episodes because of his performance, and
yeah.
he changed Mr. Freeze in the comic, because, like, the Mr. Freeze that you always think of is his wife was sick and in the tube, and he was trying to cure her, ended up becoming, like, the ice monster that he is, and...
Yeah.
Kind of goes down a life of crime to try and get the resources to cure his wife.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't really Freeze prior to that episode. Like, it was, but it wasn't, to my understanding.
He was probably more lean just being a criminal for criminal's sake.
Yeah.
But his backstory was, but, like, they never really leaned into that, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But, yeah, that Crisis stuff is going to be fucking nuts. It's either going to be the greatest television crossover of all time, or an absolute fucking disaster, but either way, it's going to be cool to watch.
It's going to be amazing either way, yeah.
So the only other piece of news that we really had, Kevin Feige is now, he is no longer the president of Marvel Studios.
Oh no!
He is now the chief creative officer of Marvel Entertainment.
Yay! That's actually amazing. Like, that's crazy that he's now just like, just give me all of Marvel Comics and everything Marvel has to do with Marvel and...
Yeah, and so Joe...
I'll fix it.
Joe Quesada was originally... or previously, I should say, the chief creative officer. Before that, he was actually the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
So he's been the chief creative officer for a while. He is now, like, the VP of, like, entertainment development or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this puts Kevin Feige kind of in a role of he oversees everything now in one way or another. He still reports to somebody above him, basically the people in charge of Disney.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like comics, TVs, movies, video games, he kind of has creative say in all of the matters.
Yeah. It's gonna be weird to see, like, maybe, what if they, like, make, like, a crossover comic movie, like, set of, like, I know they've done the comics for, like, the Avengers and stuff like that, like, a build up to the Avengers, there was a comic, and I think they did one for Endgame or something like that, but, like, I hope they don't, but, like, they do a crossover universe type thing, where, like, you don't have to watch them both, but, like, maybe, like, a Spider-Verse thing, but with all of Marvel.
So, they have done comics leading up to movies, usually.
Yeah.
There's usually either, like, one-shots or, like, little mini-series that kind of tie into the movies in some way. Like, some of the Fury stuff between that, like, the stories about Fury between the movies have been in comics.
Yeah, like...
I think Fury's Big Day was actually a comic. I think it was also... They also did a short for it, but they had, like, a more expanded view of it in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I don't want is actually for them to make any sort of decisions about the comics based on the movies. Because they've done that enough already. Like, Nick Fury is no longer a grumpy old white man. He's now a grumpy, younger black man, like in the movies.
Yeah.
And, like...
I know, like, they stopped making X-Men books or good... Or, like, stopped making Fantastic books until they got Fantastic Four back or whatever. And,
I mean, they brought Fantastic Four back a little before that deal was closed. Same thing, like, X-Men never went away, but they definitely pulled back on the emphasis on them at certain points.
Yeah.
And, like, that was why they were pushing Inhumans really big in the comics, while they were also pushing them in, like, the MCU with the TV shows and originally the movie. But as soon as that TV show fucking bombed, like, they literally had a book called The Death of the Inhumans, where they spent, I think it was, like, 4 issues killing all the Inhumans, and then the fifth issue was basically, like, they're not all dead, but they're just not going to be around anymore.
Yeah.
So it's really just, like, it's key Inhumans now, like, Miss Marvel is still around, because she's hugely popular.
Yeah. Which is, it's like, that is, yeah, I don't want them to do that. That'll be ridiculous and stupid, and then we'll just... All we'll have is just what's in the movies in comic form. And
yeah, and, like, I like the movies and I like the comics, but I like there to be a division between them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, like, the comics have more history to them.
Yeah.
Like, to, like, even when they do reboots and stuff like that, like, a lot of that history is still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm curious as to what they're going to do if the Immortals does really well. Like, are they going to bring back the Immortals in the comics?
I don't know, because they literally just killed them all.
Did they?
Yeah, at the beginning of the current run of Avengers, I believe it was, they killed all the Immortals.
Okay, that's weird.
Or Eternals, I'm sorry.
Eternals, yeah, that's what I meant. You know what I meant.
Yeah, no, I was just, I said it after you said it, so.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's cool that happened for him. Now he's gonna have his less time in his life, because he's already been producing however many movies and everything else. And
which actually makes me wonder, like, how will his producer role be affected? And who is now in charge of Marvel Studios? Because I did not see that any. So that there are all of, like, the executives are still basically in the same spot. So the publisher for Marvel Comics is still there. The CB Cebulski is still the editor in chief. Their, like, character and development VP is still the same woman. All of those roles are still in the same places. But yeah, like, Feige was producing all of the movies. And sort of, like, keeping them as cohesive as they can. And that was even part of the conflict with Sony over Spider-Man, is he was supposed to produce them, but he was so busy with everything else, he didn't, like, put as much time into it as he did with the MCU movies.
Yeah.
So, like, how does that end up breaking out now?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not going to hurt anything, though. Like, all of their TV is done, and it's becoming Disney Plus stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Shield is over next year. All their Netflix shows are canceled, so they really just have the, 6 shows coming to Disney Plus over the next 2 years?
Yeah, I think that's it, 6 shows.
six or seven. Like,
well, it's Hawkeye, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Then She-Hulk, Moon Knight. I feel like there's one or two others that we're forgetting.
I think that's about it. I think that's it. I think it's five.
Yeah, I don't know. Five, six, seven. Some, you know, something you can count on your fingers without having to like start over.
I was gonna say Blade, but Blade's a movie, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That actor's a little too big, I think, to throw him into a TV series at the moment.
He was a TV series. He was in a TV series for six episodes.
He fucking won an Oscar, right?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, so he was on for more than six episodes. He was on House of Cards for like three seasons.
Well, he was in Luke Cage.
Oh fuck, he was.
Because he
was. I forgot he was that guy. Yeah.
It's Mahershala Ali, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala Ali. Yeah. He was.
I forgot he did that.
He was Cottonmouth.
But yeah, he's won like three Oscars since then.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, I mean, it's not that he couldn't do a series, and he'd probably, if he's getting a paycheck, I'm sure he'd be happy to. But I just meant, like, with a name like that, they're probably going to want to throw him in a movie where they're going to make more money.
Yeah.
Though at the same time, they're probably going to make more money off of Disney Plus if people are subscribing to it, so.
Yeah, which, that's launched already, right?
Next month. November 12th, I believe?
Yeah.
So we're less than a month away.
Yeah.
And I just need to know if I can do Hulu and Disney Plus together and keep commercial-free Netflix for a reasonable price.
I mean, I'm going to get it no matter what, because I'm already paying for commercial Hulu, and it's like $8.
Yeah.
So it's only like an additional $5 a month, so it's not that big of a deal.
And you also get ESPN that you can watch sports on.
I don't know if you can watch sport. It's like the ESPN network stuff. I don't know if I'll be able to watch live sports.
You probably will be able to watch things airing on ESPN, I would think.
Nothing airs on ESPN.
Monday Night Football.
Fucking so much airs on ESPN.
Dodgeball?
Like
curling?
Like, what mainstream sports?
Monday Night Football, MLB, NBA, and actually ESPN Plus has exclusive NHL games.
Alright, so I'll be able to watch hockey.
And Monday Night Football.
I don't watch Monday Night
Football. But you could.
I could.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But I'm not gonna.
Fucking pay attention.
I'm not gonna. Man, it's windy out.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you want to close the windows?
Nah, it's fine.
Okay.
If we close the windows, it'll just get real warm in here. I'm just going to mute Drew's mic.
There are six shows.
Okay.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, She-Hulk.
We forgot Loki.
Moon Knight, Hawkeye, What If, and WandaVision.
Oh, and What If.
Oh, wait. One, two, three, four, five, that's six. Seven. Seven shows. Yeah. Sorry.
I was right originally. We forgot two of them.
Yeah. And one of them is the one show that, like, no one really cares about. What If.
Actually, a lot of people are excited for that.
I'm interested in it. I'm not excited. I'm very interested in it.
I mean, I'm most interested in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Hawkeye and Moon Knight. Moon Knight seems like it could be cool.
Yeah.
I like Moon Knight. He's crazy. But yeah, that's all the news.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. So I bought Astral Chain before I went away.
Yeah.
And I played it like while, like on the plane and stuff like that. I've been playing it since I got home too. That game's fun.
It's good.
Yeah, it does not fall into the, oh wow, Platinum Games fucked up category.
Yeah.
It had been doing decently on Metacritic.
Yeah, I kind of, every time we talked about it, I kept forgetting that, like, it actually had a lot of big names behind it, too. Like, either in director roles or, like, supervisory roles and stuff like that. There wasn't really a reason to think it was going to be bad, per se.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's a Platinum Games show, so it's very, you know, level-based action-y.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, you walk into an area, a bunch of enemies show up, you beat the enemies, you walk into the next area.
Yeah.
At the end of every fight, you get, like, a ranking and a score, and at the end of a level, you get, like, a full ranking, you get some level ups and stuff like that.
Okay.
You are a cop, and your twin sibling is also a cop.
Yeah.
You have a choice at the beginning of the game whether you're going to play as the male or female character.
Okay.
If you whichever one you play as, you pick a name for them, there's, like, a random generator option and all for it. You decide kind of, like, what they look like to an extent, hair color, hairstyle, skin tone, stuff like that. And then that character proceeds to not say anything for the rest of the game, apparently.
Woo.
And your sibling does all of the talking.
That sounds like one of those games.
Yeah, so like,
it gives me a, what was it, Xenoblade Chronicles X, or whatever. Like, that was, like, you make your character, you do all this stuff, and then your character doesn't talk.
Yeah.
You're involved in all these choices being made, but your character says
no. Yeah, and so my biggest gripe with the not saying anything is, so that they have you pick a name for the character, which then means that nobody actually talks to you like you're a fucking person. It's always, like, you and them. Yeah. And, like, nobody says, like, your name when they're speaking to you. So it just, it feels very out of place.
Yeah, very disconnected.
Yeah. And so no matter which character you pick, your sibling is always Akira Howard.
Yeah.
So I picked the girl just because she looked cooler than the guy. Like, the brother kind of looked just very generic anime.
Yeah.
And he is, from everything I've seen, very generic anime. All the other characters are kind of cool, though. There's a police mascot dog that runs around and shows you around the headquarters early on in the game.
Yeah.
Lappy.
I've seen that.
He's fucking creepy, because every time he, one of the early quests in the game is to go to each area of the precinct to kind of, like, learn about it, essentially. And every time you go to one of them, he somehow ends up behind you and startles you.
Oh, Lappy.
Yeah. But yeah, so you and your brother are cops. You get recruited to this special police force thing that your dad is actually the captain of, that it's, they're fighting with the legions, the monsters that are on the chains to them, because you live in a world where these things from the astral plane are bleeding through, called chimeras, and they're abducting people and turning them into more of them, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there's, I think, 7 of you or something like that.
Okay.
When you start the game, including you and your brother. So you guys are rookies. You end up on, like, a big mission. Everybody ends up in the astral plane, like, fighting a thing, and all of the legions go native and start attacking you. And your character becomes the only one that can tame theirs back down, so you are now the only person with a legion.
Okay.
So, like, the rest of, like the platoon is there to, like, back you up, but they can't fight these things because they can't see them. The only people that can see them and interact with this stuff is somebody with a legion.
Okay.
It's got a lot of collecting and stuff like that. One level, there was litter all over the ground that I could pick up and throw away and get points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard there's, like, some weird gameplay loops you can get into, but it's, like, it's always a fun thing that you can, like, yeah, throwing away trash sounds stupid, but you get points for throwing away fucking trash, and it's, like,
yeah, and
it's probably not too ridiculous to do. And
no, I mean, it's literally, like, as I was running around doing other stuff, I was picking up these cans, and every time I saw a trash can, I was just going over, tapping A a few times to throw them all in and getting points.
Yeah.
In every mission, there is, like, an investigation stage.
Yeah.
Because you're a cop. That's where it gets a little samey, it seems. So you basically just have to go around, talk to people. When you talk to people, they'll say something that will be highlighted in red, and it will automatically get added to, like, your notes. And then, like, there's certain situations where you basically have detective vision. Like, yeah. You have, like, a contact lens, basically, that you can turn on and off.
Yeah.
That lets you sort of analyze things, see details about things, stuff like that. Sometimes you'll use those, and that will give you, like, the little red text for stuff. Other times you actually use your legion to go eavesdrop on people having conversation that don't want to talk to the cops. And you basically do that until you fill up a bar to 100%. And then you move on to the next point, and then somebody will basically fucking quiz you on the stuff you found out.
Okay.
And basically call you out if they think you're wrong because they got the same information, and rather than just fucking telling the answer, they have to get you to fucking spell it all out for everybody. Which,
of course.
It's not a... So all of the dialogue and, like, the investigations actually aren't bad, and it gives you a chance to, like, collect things and do side quests and stuff like that. Because there are a lot of people that are, like, asking you for, like, help with different things, whether it's tracking a person down or closing one of these portals that is kind of, like, hidden someplace in the world. Because a lot of regular people think it's, like, ghosts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't understand really what's going on, but you end up going over, investigating it, it turns into a portal, you fight, like, 2 or 3 waves of enemies, and then it closes the portal, and that person can go back to doing laundry or whatever.
Okay.
The combat's cool, though. As you progress in the game, you actually get to capture all of those lost legions. So rather than the people being able to capture them themselves, you're just fucking hoarding them like Pokemon.
Yeah.
So you start out with a sword legion, you then get an arrow legion, or a bow legion, I think is what it's called, and then a basically like a heavy arms legion. Like, it's just one that punches shit.
Yeah.
They all have different abilities, they level up and stuff like that. The legions are actually the things that have, like, a skill tree that you go through.
Okay.
In their skill tree, they have, like, different actual attack abilities and then different secondary abilities that you can
match. Can you change them on the fly, or do you have to select them?
So you can either hit Y to just cycle through them, or you can hold Y and you'll actually get a radial wheel that you can then pick exactly which one you want. Which I'm assuming once you get, like, all 7 or 8 of them, the radial wheel will make more sense.
Yeah.
But with 3, I just keep tapping Y.
Yeah. I know in the trailers and everything, it was, what did they do? They just, like... they only ever showed the three that you have.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, like, there are more. There probably are, if you're saying there's seven or eight.
Yeah, and each one has its own special thing it does. So your Sword Legion, you go into a slashing mode where you can cut different things, whether it's, like, energy lines or enemies or whatever.
Oh, great. So you have cut and strength and, surf. Which one has surf or fly?
No, yeah, I mean, you definitely have that stuff. Your one that does strength also does fly, technically.
Okay.
So
he lifts you up.
Kind of. So the one that your sword legion, you tap L1 and then you line up a line that will slash through whatever you line it up with. And you have to do that in certain boss encounters. You have to do it to get objects out of the way, all sorts of stuff. The bow legion literally lets you just aim and shoot the bow at a thing, and then the arms legion, as it's called, you actually get inside of it like a mobile suit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But because you're inside of it, you're actually, like, your legs dangle out of it, but you're just kind of hovering. Mm-hmm. So you can actually hover over, like, dangerous stuff on the ground. But it can also go and pick up, like, heavy objects and throw them or lift heavy doors for you that you can't open otherwise.
Okay.
And then your character itself has three different weapons. Two to start and then very quickly a third one. It's a light baton for, like, quick attacks. A heavier sort of blade for heavy slow attacks, and a blaster for fast range attacks.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of, like, combos you can do, like, as you it's basically auto combo. Like, you just tap through the thing, you do your auto combo, and there's a little visual thing that happens, and you hit the Legion button, and you'll do, like, a combo attack, and if you hit that well while also attacking, you can do a follow-up one right away. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
The combat's not, on casual mode, the combat isn't super difficult, but occasionally it's a little too chaotic to keep track of. And some of the enemies, just the way they fight, like, you have to rethink the way that you fight. And oftentimes you have to switch legions, like, mid-battle, depending on what you're trying to take out at any given time.
Yeah.
Like, there are these weird things that are super weak on their own, but they basically tether themselves to a larger enemy the same way that your playable character is tethered to the Legion. And in order to take either of them out, you actually have to use, like, the slash or the gun or whatever to the Legion abilities to break that chain. And it stuns both of them, and you can quickly go take out the weak thing, and then the stronger thing becomes vulnerable again a bit, yeah. Basically.
Awesome. I want that game so bad.
Yeah, I'm a little shy of halfway through at about, like, 7.5 hours.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, you figure, and, like, the levels are decent lengths. There is repetitiveness to them, but nothing is obnoxiously repetitive. Like, all of the missions feel different enough.
Yeah.
And the story seems interesting, which, I mean, that's kind of the important thing, like, having a narrative to actually draw you through some of this stuff so that it's not just the same repetitive fighting over and over again.
Yeah.
Level design's kind of interesting, especially when you're in the astral plane. You know, it's super plain, but it's also very chaotic.
Yeah.
There's some cool maneuverability stuff where you have to use the Legion to basically, like, chain jump from things. You can control the Legion on its own, like movement-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Like, if you hold LZ, the L2 button on the Switch, whatever the fuck it's called, and then use the right analog stick, it'll just move the Legion around. So you can, like, send the Legion across a big gap and then hit the right trigger, and it'll actually pull you to him. So you have to use that in different situations, and you actually even have to use it where you might have to have him wrap the chain around another object if you're trying to jump to, like, the other side of, like, a cliff. So, like, if you have, like, two cliffs with a wall between that you can't just jump to, you would actually have the Legion go out, wrap around around a pillar, and then go to the other cliff, and you'll jump and, like, curve around to him.
Okay.
All right. Now that makes sense.
Yeah. Same. Okay. It's the same thing with, oh shit, I just lost track of what I was gonna say. Yeah, cause you do that, with enemies. You actually control the Legion, and the chain is apparently like a physical manifestation, at least in the astral plane and when you're fighting these things. So if you take control of the Legion and wrap him around an enemy and like cross over the chain, it, tethers the enemy to the ground temporarily. And every time you do it to the same enemy, it gets weaker and weaker and lasts less.
Yeah.
And there's even some enemies that will charge at you, and they will show you they're charging because they'll stop, and then a red beam will get pointed at you. if you get out of the way and then control your character in the Legion to kind of walk in that direction with the red beam going in towards your chain, the enemy will actually get caught in it. You can throw them back and it will be stunned for like 5 or 10 seconds.
Okay.
So just a bunch of like cool sort of in battle mechanics to kind of make things
not be so repetitive, not be so just always pressing one button or the other.
Yeah, and in some circumstances, like, that's the only way to beat some of these enemies without either, like, running through health or just it taking forever. Because some of the enemies are just, they're too chaotic. They're just always attacking, and you can't really get a good attack in.
Yeah.
So by, like, stunning them or locking them down, you at least give yourself an opportunity to get some attacks in.
Okay.
But yeah, I am glad I picked it up. And I think you would definitely enjoy it.
Yeah. It's on the list.
And Drew, if you ever got a Switch, you'd actually probably enjoy it too. It kind of has that, it does not play anything like Nier, but it's just got that weird sort of story world building that Nier did. Not quite at that level, but it's somewhere like in that Venn diagram, I feel.
I would take a look, because I like Platinum's games when they play good.
Yeah, and this one definitely plays well. It didn't take me that long to like get used to the controls either. And it plays all right handheld.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you guys have both actually been playing MLB The Show that was on PS Plus, right?
Yeah. Yep. It was free last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's free for the month. It was free for the month. And I've hit kind of a wall with the
I have to interrupt you guys for 1 second. Big news just happened. Jonah Hill has passed on the Batman.
I got that update as well.
Sorry.
I didn't know that. I've been getting some stupid Google updates. He passed on a role in the Batman.
People think maybe it was for the Penguin or the Riddler.
Penguin makes sense.
If it's Fat Jonah Hill. If it's not Fat Jonah Hill, yeah, maybe not.
His weight fluctuates too much, so you can't really know for sure.
Penguin makes sense.
It does.
But yeah, go ahead about the show.
But yeah, I kind of hit like a wall and needed to take a break from Monster Hunter for a little bit. With the gameplay loop, so I was like, I want to play something new for a bit. So I decided to play The Show. Sure. And
yep.
It's my first.
That's kind of how I felt about Apex, and was like, let me get into The Show.
It's my first baseball game since, in like,
Ken Griffey Jr. on the N64?
No, I had played the
N64 Ken Griffey game. It's all about the Super Nintendo one. I don't even know if there was an N64 one.
I am almost positive there was.
My favorite baseball game was the one where it was like the robot alien baseball. Yeah, I think it was like NES or Sega.
Well, so there was like Super Baseball 2020.
I think that's what it was.
And then there was like Base Wars.
So
I think it was Super Baseball 2020 where it was you could was pick to be like robots or aliens or
I know
something.
What game you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
To follow up with you real quick. Ken Griffey Jr.'s Winning Run, Super Nintendo game. Sequel, Major League Baseball featuring Ken Griffey Jr. released in 1998 on the Nintendo 64.
Okay.
That is the one that I played.
I didn't play either of those. I think I had The Show on the PS3, but I think I played like all of like 10 minutes of it. And it was my stupid I should have just started a new character, but I started as a catcher and that was absolutely fucking boring. Because, like, I saw everyone else, they were like, I'm playing pitcher, and you play every pitch that your player plays. Catcher, you literally sit there and you call the pitches.
I mean.
And that, you don't have to catch the ball. They catch it for you. You just sit there and tell the pitcher which pitch to throw. I was so bad at calling the pitches that they got a hit almost every time. And I was just like, games took so long, I was like, I'm absolutely bored. Change me to first base. And then I just stopped playing.
So really the only difference between being a pitcher and a catcher is the catcher you're playing. Shut up. The catcher is playing like 6 out of every 7 days.
Yeah.
The pitcher is 1 out of every 5 games. Because you're going to be a starter, not a reliever if you're going to do that probably.
Yeah.
So yeah, your season takes a fifth of the time.
So, and you're also not even playing a full game. Like,
yeah.
you're playing 6 to 7 innings. If you don't suck, you're only playing 2.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, when I played that version, I was like, I was absolutely bored out of my mind. So when I did this one, I knew I didn't want to be catcher. I was like, you know, I don't want to be pitcher. I know I don't want to do all of every game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'll go with first base. First base seems like a safe call, a fun call. And it is.
Did you get immediately moved to right field?
No, I've been first base.
Because I did.
I was like, I'm also using, I don't know what controls you are, but since I haven't played in a baseball game in forever, I'm using the beginner controls and not, because there's only two control options, beginner and veteran. And
wait,
so
when
you initially get to pick your control options, it says, are you a beginner or are you a veteran?
Okay.
And I was like, I'm a beginner.
Okay, yes.
And then you can go and modify it whatever way. I haven't done that yet. But I've been, my team went, I think it went 10-0 before we got our first loss.
My team was garbage.
I was drafted.
What teams were you guys playing for?
When you start the road to the show, you first do, like, some showcase games where, like, leading up to the draft, and then you get drafted. I got drafted by the White Sox organization.
Okay.
So I started with the team that Michael Jordan was playing on when he played baseball, the Birmingham Barons. After about 40 games, I got called, maybe it was a little more than that. I think it was, like, end of July. In the season, I got called straight up to the major league roster. So I've been on the major league roster for like 40 games now.
Okay. I haven't played that many games. I'm only like 3 weeks into the season. And, I got drafted to the, Fightin' Phils.
Oh, nice.
Or I got drafted into the Phillies franchise.
Nice.
And I got the Reading Fightin' Phils is the team that I'm on.
They're the double A.
Yeah. And, I was a home run hitter during the prelims. During like the draft thing, pre-draft thing, I was a home run hitter, and now I can't hit a fucking home run for my life in, I'm already in the minor leagues. Like, they can't send me further down than what I am, I don't think.
No.
No, but, so.
I think it can.
It probably can. When, your manager.
I just realized my mic was turned off.
When your manager asked you what your favorite team was, did you say the Phillies?
I don't remember that being.
No,
the
it
thing.
Was. There was a conversation with somebody, like your old coach or somebody, and they asked you, like, how do you think you did right before the draft? Or, like, how do you think you did? And you're like, oh, no, pretty good. I think, I hope. I'm not sure. And they're like, well, for me, it took me through the dialogue options of, like, where, what location, what conference, what league, what team do you want to be? And I went all the way through and I was like, I want to be part of the Phillies. And
no,
I got drafted at the Phillies.
I think I answered, I don't care. I just want to.
Okay. So I wonder.
That
is, I wonder if I got picked to the Phillies just because.
No,
I said I wanted to be picked in the Phillies.
I think basically you went through menu options to put yourself on that team.
I don't like that.
Disguised as dialogue choices.
I don't like that. I really wish, like, because I'm pretty sure I should have been drafted at a better position than what I did get drafted at.
I think I got drafted in like the 14th round or something.
I mean, I was drafted 16th round. I can't remember. Like, I felt like I played better to be drafted at a better positioning. Like, I hit like 4 home runs in one fucking game.
I've hit like 4 home runs the entire time.
Listen, I mean, man. Baseball isn't all about the home runs. You need to not suck at fielding.
Oh, I didn't suck at fielding. I did all the good fielding. Like, I wrecked it, and my team won all 3 games of the prelims. Like,
I don't know if won any. I don't remember.
But yeah, so like it took me through.
I've played like 110 games.
That's fair.
But my biggest issue right now is camera controls for when you're a base runner. There are fucking none. And every time I'm on second base and they hit a pop fly and my player starts to run, I get no notification whether or not they caught it or not. And
R1,
I've tried looking back and forth.
R1 looks at the ball. L1 looks at your base coach.
They don't say that.
Said it right up front.
They never. I have
you
had
guys are playing the same game. I feel like you missed it if he saw it.
I have had all the things come up. And when I was base runner, it told me, L1, lean forward. R1, lean back.
It says it in the very, very beginning when you're doing, like, the training before those prelim games.
I didn't have base running training. Really? I had fielding training. I had batting training. I did not have base running training. And when I did get on base the first time, when it wasn't a home run during the prelims, it told me, hold L1 to lean forward, hold R1, or hold L1 to lean back, and give yourself less of a distance. So,
what position are you again?
First base. And hold R1 to lean forward and go towards the next, and give yourself a bigger leadoff. That's all it told me. And I read through all of it. I'd have to read through it again, but, like, there have been a lot of instances where they got a double play because I couldn't look back, and my coach wasn't telling me, like, go back. Like, and it would be, like, there's one out, I'm on second, pop fly, and I get the two, and because of me, we get out twice.
I've had issues where I've apparently accidentally held the left stick up just too long, and, like, rounding second, my guy kept running.
Yeah.
And then they're so slow to turn back around.
Yeah, they are. They've
gotten picked off.
Yeah.
But yeah, R1 follows the ball. L1 will focus your eyes on the base coach if you don't hold either. It's kind of like the middle.
Yeah, like I would, cause I would hold R1 and push forward or push up or whatever direction to go to the next base because I always give myself that extra lead off. Usually when I'm on base, it's two outs. And it's like two outs and it's two and three. Or three and two. And I'm like, all right, I just gotta give who cares at this point? But it's like, when I'm not, I'm still giving myself that R1 leadoff. And like, when they hit the ball, I hit R1 and I try to like use the right stick to look around and it just always.
So if you're holding R1 once they hit it, you're looking at the ball.
I'm not. I have never looked at the ball.
You probably have to let go.
You probably have to let go. Because also, I don't think holding R1 increases your lead. Each time you press it, you take one step further to the right.
And
every time you hit L1, you take one step back to the left.
And on the thing, on the diamond at the top of the corner, it says L1 increases your lead.
Yeah, it's presses.
The way I took it, it was hold R1 increases your lead, letting go of R1. Cause like when I hold R1, he just leans forward. I'm like, is that me increasing my lead?
Oh, maybe that's that might be a slightly separate thing. So if you tap R1, you will see your player shuffle step one step to the right.
Like when they do in a real game when they're like four steps off from the base.
So holding the R1.
When you were on base, when you're playing Road to the Show and you're on base, your character automatically steps off base when they're
right.
base run.
Right. But what I'm telling you, when you, every time you tap R1, your lead will extend.
Okay.
And, like, especially if you're up against a left-handed pitcher, basically, if you take a second step, they're going to throw a pickoff throw.
Yeah.
So you gotta hit down on the left stick to get back. I'm gonna bet holding R1, if it's making you lean, your base runner is just gonna run. If you don't push anything, if you're not holding anything when they hit it, your runner won't just go to the next base. They will take a few steps on a fly ball anyway. They will take a few steps and stop. So I bet that's what's happening. If you're always holding R1, that's just making your guy.
This is something they didn't say, at least clarify to me properly. Like, the way they said things, like, it seems like me and you might have had separate kinds of training. And
I'm surprised on basic it didn't give you more.
I don't recall there being base running training. It was batting and it was fielding. I don't really remember.
Well, you were probably drunk.
Wait. Did you not play so when I started it, I did the advanced controls or whatever it called, the upper controls. It put you into a game immediately with whatever team you picked as your favorite team.
No.
So I played a game. Okay.
It didn't
That's
set
what
me
it
up
is.
With that.
That's
at
where
all.
It all happened. Like, I played a 9-inning game as the Phillies against, like, the Mets.
There is an option that you can go and do that in the home menu system. There is, like, an advanced control options option or something like that. And it'll bring you into a full on game that you can, like, I found that, but I didn't play this full game.
That might be where it showed up for me then. And that's the difference. And that's weird.
Yeah. I was like, so that was like, that was my biggest gripe so far, is like, I can't look back and I can't look forward. Like, I don't know if I should be running or not. And my character generally automatically runs.
So I'm guessing don't hold R1. is my my guess is by the holding R1, your character automatically runs.
Probably.
My issues I've had with Road to the Show are, A, they've changed my player's position, and...
Like, just based on how you're playing?
I have no idea why. I think because, I guess there was a different first baseman also already in that organization, really, that had probably better ratings, because you start super low rated.
Yeah.
I think it's funny you're both playing first base. Or you both went into it playing first base.
I mean, I always played first base.
Drew's no, I know that. I just think it's funny that...
He's always played first base, and I've always done catcher. But like I said, based on past experience, catcher is fucking boring. So,
and also takes like probably fucking 30 times the length.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because like you can play a 3-game series in 15 minutes.
I've played entire games where all I did was batted because no plays happened in first base. Yeah. But if you're playing like outfield or shortstop, that's probably a position that you're getting a lot of playtime in.
Well, so what is it? When you're in the field, if you're in a position that's just not having plays to you, it's just skipping right over it?
Yeah, you can either watch every play if you wanted to. The fuck you would do that, I don't know.
A real fan would.
Or you can have it sim to just any time your player is involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
In earlier Road to the Shows, when you played first base, you had to control the first baseman on every single ground ball. Now it's really only times it's actually hit at the first baseman.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe a few other random times
I'm sure I haven't more like double play instances coming to me, but
yeah.
No one really hits it over towards first base, at least in my experience so far.
The other issue I've had is like, so sometimes the manager will tell you steal a base, steal second base. It's like, okay, my player is slow as shit, but I'll do it because you're telling me to do it. And then because my player is slow, I've gotten thrown out trying to steal a bunch and then yelled at for trying to steal when the only times I've tried to steal are when the game tells me the manager is telling me to steal.
I don't know.
I got benched for fucking getting thrown out stealing because the manager said I was being too aggressive. And I'm like, motherfucker, you told me to go.
I wonder why, like, my character's pretty fast. I wonder what stat or what thing I took.
Speed makes you fast.
Well, no, like, you get, like, character type or something.
Five archetypes, okay. I think.
Yeah.
So, in this Road to the Show, they actually made it so your player can't just eventually be 99s at everything, where every other Road to the Show you could.
Yeah.
So you can't just have, like, the best baseball player ever.
Yeah, you can't just have
God. You can have a guy that's really good in the field, really good at batting, like, really good base runner.
Yeah.
So, like, there are archetypes you pick now. And as you're going through, so every off day you have, you either can do some training to either boost a stat's current level or boost its potential maximum.
Yeah.
Or you can have clubhouse interactions with other teammates, and that'll give you a dialogue option. There are four different archetypes in there that then give you perks as you level those up, and you can equip X number of perks per perk
tier.
Level.
So it was like,
yeah, per
like
tier.
Tier one, you can set up three.
I think it's 2-2-3-3. I think there's four tiers.
Something like that.
And then, you have like your captain or your, I forget what the red one is.
It's like,
the team player.
The captain, the lightning bolt.
The lightning rod,
heart
and the maverick.
Soul,
heart and soul, yeah.
And the maverick. And so I went heart and soul, captain, lightning bolt.
I have the heart and soul, captain, and maverick.
Okay. See, I'm being like that good guy in the,
But also, like, a dick.
I'm not being a dick.
That's what the lightning rod is, though.
No, the lightning rod, like, but the lightning rod was the lowest tier. Like,
yeah.
It, like, and honestly, any of the dialogue options, I tend to go with the heart and soul or the captain. I'm like, I don't really like any of these other dialogue options right now.
But yeah, I'm coming up to the end of my first season, and I think I might try to get myself traded out of the White Sox organization if they don't want to play me at fucking first base.
I would do that too. I don't know how you would do that. Like,
so
I guess at a point you get to go
at
talk
a point
to
you get an agent.
Okay,
and you start getting like. Because you start out only, you have, like, your high school coach is, like, your advisor.
Yeah.
But he's, it gets to a point where he's like, I can't really tell you what to do. I don't want to screw up your career. Why don't you get an agent? And then, like, they suggest one, but then you could try to get a different agent if you wanted. And,
yeah.
But yeah,
it's,
I don't know.
It's fun. I want to play against people. Like, I want to, obviously you can't do that in Road to the Show. You have to do that in just regular games. But I do, I know a bunch of people who have it because it was, not even because it was free. A few people who had it when it came, who just bought
yeah,
it.
Yeah, my
it
brother
came
and
out.
One of his friends both have yeah. had it since.
So it's like, out. I kind of, I want to play full games and just see how good I could be in that. And
I sort of wish. I mean, I kind of sort of wish this for literally every sports game, that they had a mode like the EA Sports Hockey League where you fucking could get 9 people playing and you're all playing
that
your
would
position.
Actually be cool.
That would be pretty cool if they did that. Like, I understand it for hockey and I could see it for, you know.
Baseball is the
NBA
next
has
most logical
it.
Thing
Sorry.
To do it.
NBA also has it.
Because like, it would be silly for football because there are so many positions that, and they don't.
They had it for football, but it basically, it was like quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, fuck the offensive line.
Yeah.
And then you could either, so quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. So it was 4-on-4, I think. And then you could have one person was got to control the D lineman. One person got to control linebackers, then the other two controlled defensive backs.
Okay.
I think is how it worked.
Yeah.
When they did it in Madden. I don't know if they still have that.
Like, I feel like.
But it also, I don't think it was like, this is your player. It was like, you were just playing 4 player teams.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that would be so hard to do because of, like, the play calls and the lines. And like,
For football.
Like,
well, I mean,
I know in, like Madden now, like if you're playing like a running back in like one, in their like equivalent to Road to the Show or whatever, like it gives you the line you're supposed to run. So it could just do that, but.
I mean, you would all see the play call screen and there's always, since like 2002, there's been a button to push on offense that pulls up the play call on the screen.
Did yeah. your Switch just turn on?
No, it was my Xbox One for some reason. That was what that delete was.
That's fucking weird.
So,
yeah, I have a ghost.
So option might even still be there in Madden. I don't know, but
yeah,
like fucking imagine getting 18 fucking people together.
That would
to
be
play.
So fun and stupid.
Like, or even just 9 people against the computer.
Yeah,
if you couldn't get 18, but like I feel like I mean. Most sports games, including Madden, have had the like 2 players on a team, 4 players on a team before.
Where, yeah,
you know, like if you're playing like just couch co-op, everyone just moves under the same team, and you just kind of like swap between characters as you're playing.
I don't even know how the show has a 2-player co-op mode. I know MLB, well, not it was MVP Baseball 06. It was the first college baseball game EA made after 2K at the time bought the baseball license. That had a 2-player co-op mode, and you would just alternate who was batting.
Okay.
Although, so that you could do create a player and put your guys on a team. So me and my brother were playing, and you could also lock. I always want to be me, and my brother was always his player. So even if we were batting, I was batting 3rd and he was batting 5th. It would have me bat 3rd and 4th, and then him 5th and 6th, and then go back to alternating. So it wasn't like,
yeah.
Oh well, your player's also batting in an op position, so I get to use your guy.
Yeah,
I forget how it handled fielding, but
probably
it might have just alternated innings. I think.
Yeah, maybe like one person was the pitcher, the other person was the rest of the field.
I feel like the pitching alternated innings, who controlled the pitching. And then maybe the other person controlled the fielding. But I don't know, I would kind of enjoy a 9-player co-op baseball game.
It would at least
game.
Be a cool novelty.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just sitting
especially
there,
they expanded PlayStation parties to 16 players.
Like,
let's go, you can have all 9 people in a party chat on the PlayStation.
Yeah, then
now. You're
just sitting there in a party chat with a couple of beers or whatever, just chatting with your friends. Oh, it's my up, guys, hold on. And just playing a fucking game of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But just keep things moving along. Rich, did you want to talk for a few minutes about Monster Hunter?
Yeah, so like
while
as
me
I
and Drew play on our phones.
As I said before, like I've gotten a little like meh about the gameplay loop. Like when I first talked about it, the Guiding Lands seemed like a cool idea for the end game content of Monster Hunter, but I'm slowly finding out how much more obnoxious the Guiding Lands can be. Because if the idea is you go out, you fight monsters in these lands, there's no loading needed. As long as you're out, you're out. Like, so once you get into the Guiding, like, it takes a while to load into the Guiding Lands. But once you're there, things just keep coming. As you kill something, a new thing comes out. There's always three enemies out at a time, unless an Elder Dragon comes out. Then it's one Elder Dragon, and then one other creature. And it was cool in concept and idea, but, like, the execution to me is a little too stupid. Because if I want to fight a creature that I can only get from fighting a bunch of creatures in the Coral Highlands area, I need to just fight creatures from there. But if nothing spawns from that area, I have to go fight other creatures to get a monster to show up in that place. But fighting other monsters may and probably will lower my rating in the Coral Highlands. So if I'm at level 4 in the Coral Highlands and I go and fight in the Wildspire Wastelands, the Coral Highlands might degrade down to level 3. And then there's a likelihood of specific monsters not showing up after a certain level, which I can understand that, but it's like you might need certain items that you can only get from a monster in the Coral Highlands when it's only at level 1 or 2 to upgrade your equipment later on for when you're augmenting your equipment. So, like, it's a neat concept, but the way they built it out to where the tiers go up and down, and not just everything should be able to show up if you get it all to level 6 or 7. I believe the highest level is level 7. If you get everything to level 7, you should be able to fight everything out there. Like, it's just a little, mundane, I guess. Like, so, like, I kind of, like, started to feel a little like, man, I need to play something else for a bit, because this is just, and I'm a guy who can sit there and play 16 hours of Stardew Valley with no issue.
I mean, you also played, what, like 300 hours of Monster Hunter
World? Yeah. And it's like, it's a pain in the ass, because, like, they have the trophy, the gold crown trophy for this one again. And it's for all the creatures from this, from the base version of Iceborne.
You started to say it, and then I feel like you...
I almost said, Drew will probably like this, I almost said Icewind Dale, which was from D&D. And I was like Ice World, and then I almost said Ice World, but I just forgot it for a second. But like they threw in Rajang, which added a little new to it, and they also threw in a new area in the Guiding Lands. So before it was just the desert, the jungle, the Rotten Vale, and the wilds, or and the Coral Highlands. Now they added the lava area, so it added a little bit more to it. But it's still kind of frustrating that I've never fought, say, Silver Rathalos, because I've never gotten my Coral Highlands up to the level I need to get him up to even encounter him, and I've never encountered him either. So, like, there's too much of a dice roll to, like, for it to be, like, a fun, it's still a fun gameplay loop, but it's not the gameplay loop that I would kind of want. Like, I like the idea of this area being somewhere to go get materials to upgrade my equipment, but it's kind of frustrating that it is also the only way to encounter new monsters in general. That I'm pretty sure there's monsters none of us may have even encountered yet that pop up there just based on how they do it, because one area lowers, the other one higher, and it's like it's completely random what thing comes next. You can lure out monsters, but to get the lures to lure them out is kind of monotonous as well.
Okay.
But they threw in Rajang, which I was telling you about him last week. He's basically a Super Saiyan. But it's Rajang, he is an ape-like guy. He's got like big ape arms and little ape-like legs, but his head, he's got like oxen horns and like maybe like a horse-like face. And he is a pain in the fucking ass to fight. Immune to pretty much all statuses. So he's immune to... No, he is resistant to almost all statuses except for Blast, and he is immune to all elements except for Ice, and maybe resistant to Fire. I don't really remember, but it's just, he's such a pain in the ass to fight, because he's so wild, and he is the first creature in this game that is of this type, of, like, being the ape-like thing. Yeah. They've had, in previous games, they've had, like, ape-like creatures, but he is the first one to be like this, and of this new model, and he's just so random how he attacks, and honestly, some of his, like, attacks that he does, like, he does this one where he jumps up in the air, curls up into a ball, and just somehow, while in the air, stationary in the air, curling up into a ball, can aim and come down at you, at an angle. Like, he doesn't have wings, he can't fly, but he can just jump up and angle himself to go diagonally down towards you.
Nice.
That thing, I cannot understand the range of what it hits, because there have been times that I felt like I was like 15 feet off of him and still got hurt, and then there were times where I was right next to him and didn't get hurt.
Maybe like, it's not a range and just a positioning.
It is, it's a positioning, but like, I can't figure it out.
Like, it might be one of those things where when he gets up into the air, he picks the spot that you're at right before he attacks.
Yeah, that's what
so
it is.
So if you move at the right time,
yeah,
you avoid the...
It is what it is, but like... And me saying 15 feet out, it was obviously a gross exaggeration. It was more like, I would be out of what looks to be where the damage circle would be. And like, when he hits the ground, it kind of does like a little like, poof of like, damage quotes, like, in the air, like, rocks and stuff. Go flying into the air, I'd be way out of that, and I'd still get affected by this attack. And it's like, he's a pain in the ass. But he's got some of the strongest weapons in the game, so you have to fucking fight him now, which sucks.
Well, look, at least it gives you something to do.
Yeah, he's cool, he's a cool monster, and when he gets mad, he turns yellow, and if they decide to incorporate Furious Rajang, which is his variant, he's always yellow and turns even more yellow when he gets mad. And, he shoots lightning out of his mouth. So that's his Kamehameha. A few people are calling him Nappa, basically. So it's either Nappa or just a Saiyan in general. And the reason he has been created was, the creator of Monster Hunter. No one was helping him create new monsters. So he was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna do my own thing, and made this guy. And
good for him.
Yeah, he sucks, but I'll probably get back into Monster Hunter. I'm just taking my time from that. Like, I've got a lot of stuff to do to get all the trophies still, and it's gonna take a long time to do them. So I might not do them just because, like, one of the trophies
you already
is,
have the platinum.
Monster Hunter World Iceborne
has its
own platinum. But one of the platinums is, like, getting a crown similar to the monsters you fight with just monsters you can catch on the ground. Just little, like, critters that you see throughout the world. You can catch them with a net. You have to get a crown for one of them. I've caught everything that I've ever ran into, and I have not seen a crown ever.
Nice.
So, I don't really know if I want to do that. Plus, just, I don't really want to go crown hunting right now. With some of these creatures and how much harder these fights are being the master rank, I'm just like, I can't get them done as fast as I used to be. Like, I used to be able to get a fight done in 5 minutes.
Get good.
Look, it's not just me. Like, Rajang, my first time, and everybody's first time fighting Rajang took about 30 minutes.
That seems unrealistic.
It is unreasonably stupidly long. I've died at least once every time I've fought Rajang, which luckily I have an ability that makes me stronger every time I die, so it doesn't piss me off that much.
So you're also a Saiyan?
Yeah, basically. There's an ability called Fortify, so every time you get knocked out and carted away and back to camp, it increases your attack and defense by 20%.
For just a set period of time?
For, the rest, basically for like 45 minutes.
Oh.
And if you die again, it increases it an additional like 10%.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so, like, people, like, one thing to do is when you go into the Guiding Lands, you go and you die twice, because there's no limit on how much you can die in the Guiding Lands. You go and immediately die twice, then you eat, and you drink your potions to make yourself as strong as possible, as long as you have Fortify on, and you go and you fight creatures basically at your peak. But it's like, after the 40 minutes, Fortify does not activate again, so you'd have to then leave the Guiding Lands after the 40 minutes, which there's been times I've been in there for like 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, to move on, last week when we were recording, The Flash was also premiering.
Yes.
What did you think of the premiere?
I from what I can remember of it, I thought it was good.
Yeah, so before we started recording, we were discussing that, and we both realized we both enjoyed the premiere, but remember very little from it.
Yeah, like a lot happened, but not much happened at the same time. Like it's weird to say that,
but it does make sense.
Like, because like a lot did happen. You had the stuff between Caitlin and Frost, where like Frost wants to have her own life or whatever, and then you had the stuff between Caitlin and Mohinder.
Ramsey.
Who
is going to be Bloodwork, I think is his name from the comics. He is a villain from like the last, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, he's like a relatively new villain, you said?
Yeah.
And then you had the stuff between Barry and Iris and losing. Them
just kind of dealing with all that.
Yeah, but they never actually dealt with it over the past 3 months or whatever it was. And it's like, there was a lot. But substantially, it could all have been boiled down to a small amount of time.
Yeah, and especially with the Barry and Iris stuff, like, Barry was just throwing himself into the Flash, and Iris was just kind of, like, pretending everything was all right.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But I thought it was good. It was a good setup. It's going to be exciting to see Mohinder being a super-powered person again. And this time, he's not going to be a creepy, weird cockroach bug thing.
No, he's going to be made out of blood.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's interesting, but that's weird.
Yeah, no, that character was actually really cool.
Yeah.
Well, at least it was a cool concept.
The one thing I am, like, bummed about is that the guy who played Kid Flash didn't want to do it anymore, because he was a fun character to have.
Yeah, and it's like, definitely a bummer that he probably won't be part of the...
I believe I've read he's definitely not part of the crossover either.
We also... There was no Wells in this episode yet.
Yeah, I wonder what they're doing with Wells.
So they confirmed that Tom Cavanaugh is going to be a major part of the crossover.
Yeah.
He is one half where Layla, Diggs' wife, is the other half of like these two things.
Yeah.
So like those actors are going to be playing two different roles than what they normally play.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I mean, Tom Cavanaugh plays a different Wells every season. But actually,
which he might still be a Wells, just from a different universe. Just like Diggs' wife, maybe the woman who plays Diggs' wife, maybe her, just from a different universe. Who was?
Yeah, and I mean, so not really a spoiler, but I will say that Arrow's premiere actually had a pretty big impact on a Wells.
Okay.
So like, yeah.
I didn't get a chance to watch it. That premiered yesterday.
Yeah, last night.
Yeah, so I didn't get a chance to watch that last night.
Really good premiere. Within the first 30 seconds of the show, you get to see Batman's mask.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm not going to give you what the situation is.
I mean, they've referenced Bruce Wayne in that universe multiple times, and as far as we know, although it's still questionable with how Batwoman is right now, Batwoman is in, unless like the universe Batwoman we're watching is a different universe.
No, I think this is like, so the like logo image is her in the suit from Elseworlds last year.
Yeah.
So and I feel like, and I just haven't felt like going back and looking at this. So Batwoman takes place 3 years after Batman left and Bruce left.
Yeah.
I feel like in Elseworlds they said it was 5 years. So I feel like this is 2 years before Elseworlds.
Yeah. Which means like it's gonna be. Hopefully they build up to the crossover point before the crossover. Like,
I feel like they're gonna have to do a time jump, like.
Yeah, and I'm hoping.
Before that, yeah.
I'm hoping based on the end of this past episode, that's where the time jump happens. I was hoping it would have been between pilot and episode 2.
Well, no, because
that's generally how time jump happens.
So it's gonna be Luke Fox is going to make her a new suit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is going to be an episode where she is just in that, like, modified Batman suit until, like, the last quarter of the episode when he's like, well, why don't you use this? And opens up, like, a new door, and it's the Batwoman
suit. I was totally expecting it to happen during this episode, too.
I kind of did, too, but...
Because, like, they were
leading to it.
Yeah. But, yeah, Flash was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we were both kind of on the same page. Like, it was good, but not... It wasn't memorable, really.
Yeah.
But you know, like it's at least going places.
Yeah, like to take things kind of out of order, it was very similar to My Hero's season 4 first episode, because My Hero premiered this weekend as well, and all it was, and it kind of was similar to how The Flash was. It's just a recap episode of what happened in the past.
I mean, every season premiere is.
Yeah. So it's not like I'm not complaining about it, but it's like, I knew that this is how it was going to be. It was just, I was very interested to see how they were going to do it.
And like, it does make me wonder. So in the episode, it's a recap, but it's framed around the idea that a reporter is at the school doing some sort of like documentary on the students of Class 1A, when really he is there trying to find out who is All Might's successor.
Yeah.
And like the guy successfully guesses very quickly that it's Midoriya.
Yeah.
But then he basically says like, oh no, I'm not going to tell anybody. Yeah. Like All Might saved my dad. Like if he didn't save my dad would be dead. So
yeah,
I'm a fan. Like your secret's safe with me.
Yeah.
But like, is that going to come back up, or was that a one and done character just there for the episode?
I think that character might make a reappearance at some point in the future, but I don't think that information is going to be a big deal. I don't, like, no one knows he knows what he knows.
Yeah.
No one knows he knows what he knows.
But he knows, which makes me wonder if he's going to, you know, try and leverage Midoriya for something.
I don't think so. I've never read the manga, but seeing as how I believe this character was probably just created for the anime, I don't think major story plot lines will involve him.
That is also probably true. I did appreciate that they included some of the backstory that was introduced in the with him and David Shield.
Yeah, they referenced David Shield at the end of the last season.
was it during that filler episode that linked the movie?
No, it was at the end of the season. Because Midoriya was freaking out, like, who do I do my work study with? And he calls Gran Torino.
No, that wasn't. They weren't talking about David.
They were talking about Shield. They weren't talking about the skinny dude. They were talking about David Shield.
When he said his old partner?
Yeah.
No, they were talking about the skinny dude.
I don't think so.
No, that's why they then cut to the skinny dude. Because that's his old sidekick. Because they even bring him being the sidekick up again. Excuse me. They bring that whole thing up again in this episode when the reporter is listing all the potential successors and mentions the kids from Class 3A and how they were mentoring with that guy, but that All Might and him haven't spoken.
Okay. I just watched the end of it, and I could have swore they had mentioned David Shield, and, like, I knew that David Shield was his partner.
So he was his partner, not his sidekick.
And that's what they said at the end, like, talk to...
And not even really his partner. David was basically making gadgets for All Might.
Yeah.
Like, cause he's like the science bro dude.
Yeah.
Cause the way, so there was that filler episode that tied the movie to the show.
Yeah.
That was what, that's where they mentioned Dave in like the show proper. But then it was this episode where it like actually showed footage from the movie.
Yeah.
Because you haven't watched the movie yet, right?
Not yet, no.
It's a good movie. You should watch it.
I know.
I told you that a bunch of times.
You tell me this pretty much every episode.
Every time My Hero comes up.
Every time we talk about My Hero. Yeah, I thought it was a good episode, but it was just like, it was a recap episode, and that's kind of how, like, Flash was a part recap, part setup episode.
Yeah, it was very much a premiere for a long-running show, basically.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Arrow was not.
Yeah, and like, not having watched it, I can understand that, because it's not, they're not premiering it. Like, this show has been around for 8-9 years.
But, like, not only that, like, this was such a drastically different, if you didn't watch the season finale last year, you have no fucking clue what's going on. There's a very brief, like, the very beginning of the episode, it shows you the flashes of, like, Oliver and Felicity moving into the house, and then the Metatron coming and taking Oliver away.
Yeah.
They don't really explain it, though. So if you didn't watch the whole previous season, there is no way in fucking hell you're going to have any idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing in Arrow that seemed a little out of place this first episode were the flash forwards. But usually, they end up making more sense as episodes go on.
Yeah, anytime they flash forward or back or whatever, it makes sense by the end of this.
But, so you also watched the first season of Attack on Titan.
Yes.
Didn't you watch that before?
I did. But it's been a long time, and I've been eagerly awaiting season 2 to find out that season 2 and 3 are on Hulu, not on Netflix. But it's been so long since I watched it, because it was like, the show came out in 2013, so I probably watched it like 2014-ish. It's been so long that, like, I felt I needed to rewatch it before I started watching season 2. So I rewatched all of season 1, which, honestly, the art in that show is really cool.
I've never watched an episode, but the, like, clips I've seen, it looks neat.
Yeah, like, the one thing that really makes me enjoy it is, like, the hard lines that they do for the inking for the character portraits and stuff. Like, if, like, Mikasa is sitting there talking and you see her hair, like, flowing, like, you have that hard line of her, like, her face, like, where her face ends and then you get the hair flowing. I don't know why, I just really like that thick, dark line next to, like, the characters. And then what they do with the Titans on how, like, they're kind of flesh-toned, but not, and it's kind of reminiscent of, like, you know, old cartoons, how they had those characters that when they moved, their, like, pants didn't, and it was kind of like stationary pants, but it was always, like, crisscrossing, and they were walking across the same, like...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So, like, say you had a plaid pair of pants, and it was, like, a red and black pair of pants, and you were walking, but your pants weren't walking with you, it was just a flat background that your pants were using. So it would be, like, that plaid would always, like, be on your pants, but it would constantly change as you're stepping.
I honestly have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you get what I'm saying, Drew?
So say
you have a piece of paper and it has just a bunch of grid lines, like squares up and down.
Look,
and you get a t-shirt.
Me understand this without seeing it.
No, but you get a t-shirt cutout. Like, you get a flat piece of paper, you cut out a circle on it, and then you run that flat piece of paper over your grid-lined paper. And the circle is cut out, and all you see as you move is just the grid lines.
You know, I understand what you mean, but I have never seen a show that does that.
I've seen, at least as a kid, I saw a good number of cartoons that used to do that.
Yeah, you don't remember last week. How do you remember shit you saw as a kid?
Because that's something that I really liked. I don't know what that style is. But it was just something that I was like, oh, that's so cool when they do that. And, like, they don't fully do it with the Titans on Attack on Titan, but, like, it kind of has that feel as they walk around where, like, their coloration just is always, like, coming off of a backplate that they have behind everything. I'm just like, that's, like, really, like, a cool style of doing things. Plus, the Titans are fucking creepy as hell. But that show, like...
They are. I mean, having that, like, weird inside-out boy thing going on.
That's not all of them. The Titans aren't all inside-out.
I mean, that's all I've ever seen, and they're creepy
there's
looking.
There's three so far that are inside-out. The rest of them are flesh-toned, giant people with no genitalia and generally always male. And they always have these weird smirks and smiles on them. And they're just, like, they're so creepy. But, like, the show, when I first watched it, however many years ago, I was like, man, this is dark. It's not as dark as I remember it to be. Or maybe the world just got that dark that I'm just
like... Yeah, I mean,
like,
we live in a pretty dark... We live in the darkest timeline.
Yes, we do. But story-wise, I mean, it's just as good as I remember. I did watch the first episode of season 2, and it showed something that I did read about once, because I wanted to know, like, how it continued on, not knowing that it was on Hulu, and it was, like, 2 years after season 1 had aired. I was like, well, how does this continue? Because I want to know more. Should I just read it? And it showed me a character that happens in season 1, which is the Beast Titan, and he's just basically a Sasquatch, but he's a 17-meter-high Sasquatch. Basically, that can talk.
Convert that to stupid American. How many feet is that?
Well, every meter is roughly 3 feet. So that would be 41 feet.
17 meters?
Yeah.
You said 51.
51.
21 plus 30.
Okay. So yeah, 51. I was doing 17 times 3. Yeah.
Yeah. 7 times 3 is 21. 10 times 3 is 30.
I did my math a little off. But yeah, it's about a 50-foot tall... like, basically Sasquatch that can talk and is the only Titan that can actually talk and has intelligence and stuff. I started it thinking season 4 had aired and ended. Season 4 doesn't air until fall of next year.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be ahead of the game now.
That's true.
But because I now have to watch it on Hulu, so...
I mean, I keep telling you, you should also watch Fairy Tale. I think you'd really like it.
I believe...
And it's 328 episodes.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but you figure if you watch just like two or so a day, that's going to get you, it's going to take you less than a year to finish it.
Yeah, I know.
And like they're 20 minute episodes, so two in a day really isn't that bad.
Well, look, as I say that's a lot, I've considered rewatching like Naruto and Bleach. So it's not really that much.
Man, we're finally getting into the good part of Shippuden.
Nice.
Naruto just found out about Jiraiya's death.
Oh no. So you're about to get to the war that lasts 600 episodes.
No, we're still like 300 episodes from that.
We're
about to get to the part where he fights Pain.
Right, yeah. He's going to go train, become Sage Mode, and then do...
Yeah, we are less than 10 episodes away from him fighting Pain.
Yeah.
Which is arguably the best fight in the show.
Yeah. In Shippuden, yes. I think the best fight in all of Naruto...
Lee versus Gaara?
No, is Sasuke versus Naruto at the Valley.
Okay, yeah, no, that one's actually really good,
just too. Because of the art style they did for it.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest gripe with the Pain stuff is there's a few times where... The art is not good in that fight. Like when he does the planetary devastation.
Yeah.
That art style is really bad. And I believe the art style they use for the Nine Tails is pretty bad at that too.
Yeah.
But like the point when like Naruto just like jumps off and just fucking crushes the first one's face.
Yeah.
After those things literally destroyed everybody else.
Yeah.
It's cool. He's finally actually good at something.
He's been good for a while. He's just now good.
No, but like think about it. Like in all of Shippuden, every time he's had a fight, he's only actually done damage because the Nine Tails has leaked. Yeah. Out. Like he has not actually had a good fight up to that point.
That is why I really like Naruto, cuz he doesn't just inherently know things. Like he progresses through the series, and there's not a lot of anime that actually do that.
Yeah, no, like he's actually pretty shitty for 350 episodes?
Yeah.
Like, not shitty, but like...
He's not...
He's kind of useless. Yeah. Like, he's a one-trick, two-trick pony by the end of regular Naruto.
Yeah. But like, obviously, in normal shonen and anime style, at the end of it, it's like, oh, we can only hold this for 10 minutes or whatever, and like, they end up being able to hold this ability for like 8 hours, or keep reusing it after they use it or whatever, but like, it's just...
Yeah, but like, Fairy Tail is just that, like... Feel good, friendship trumps all show.
Yeah.
Where, like, we only have one episode to go, so Monday will be the final episode dubbed.
Okay.
We just watched the penultimate episode last night. They literally have a scene where they don't have enough magic power between the people that are, like, gathered in this one area to take out, like, the big bad. Well, half of the big bad. So then this other character shows up who has this ability to, like, link people. Where, like, she can literally link you so that you feel pain that the other person has inflicted on them.
Uh-huh.
And she shows up, she's like, sorry, I was busy linking the entire world. And they basically do a spirit bomb.
Yes.
Like, they do, like, the Boo versus Goku spirit bomb of, they flash to every insignificant, showed up for 30 seconds in a random episode, 272 episodes ago, character. Like, at one point, there is a random little arc where they show up twice, but one of them is a filler arc where there are these guys, they're like the butt suit bandits.
Oh jeez.
They wear these like tight body suits, they all have giant asses, and most of their attacks involve farting.
Okay. Of course.
They are briefly shown in like this little like montage of like people like donating their magic power to this attack. Like
just, that's insane. Yeah. That's amazing.
Meanwhile, like, the other side of the fight is all the Dragon Slayers, like, Voltroning together to then fight.
Yeah.
Like, it's all, that show is just nothing but friendship.
That's awesome, and now, like, I'll probably watch it after Attack on Titan.
I know at least, I think all of it is on Hulu, I just don't know if it's all dubbed on Hulu.
It's fine. I watch everything subbed. Mostly, anyway. There is one anime that, Drew, you might enjoy. I was telling Kyle about this earlier. And when I say that, I kind of say it mockingly, because you'll probably hate it. It's called After School Dice Club.
Okay.
It's about a group of girls who, after school, they go to a board game store, and they play a bunch of fucking board games.
Sure.
I don't know if it's going to, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Itself and, like, be, like, this most epic thing.
Oh, almost certainly.
Or if it's just, because, like, on Funimation, it just calls itself a slice of life show.
Well, maybe not then.
So it might not. And the board game, I don't know how big the board game aspect will be, but like when they show, I watched a trailer for it And when they showed, like, the board game store, they had, like, legit board game, like, Blockus, and I believe there's others. I thought I saw, like, a Catan in there and things like that. I sent it to Eric. He hasn't said anything to me yet. He probably thinks it's stupid. But I am definitely, there's only 3 episodes so far. Just started airing. I am gonna try to watch that, I think, while I'm watching everything else.
My microphone was off for all of that. Whoops. I've been trying to turn it off when I'm, like, on a coughing fit. And then I just, you know, forget to turn it back on.
No one needs to hear what you have to say anymore anyway.
Most of the dubbed fairy tale is on Hulu. There's, like, 10 episodes that'll be up on the 22nd. But I doubt you're going to get to episode 317 in a week, so...
Is that a challenge?
Actually, it kind of is.
I've got 12 PTO days. Is that a challenge?
I dare you. I double dare you.
What do I get?
The satisfaction of watching an entire series.
I need more than that.
$5?
Buy me lunch every day.
$5 and a gluten-filled pizza.
How many episodes was it?
328 altogether.
328.
20-minute episodes if you skip the opening and ending.
Which all streaming platforms do. However, I have Hulu and I have commercials, so that kind of negates itself.
Right.
It's 109 hours.
109 hours.
Which, I mean, that's only a little more than, like, a work week.
I mean,
it's like double like plus
was,
a work week.
That was a McDonald's work week for me. It was 109 hours.
4.5 days.
There you go. You have 12 straight PTO days. You're good.
I could possibly do it, but I would need more than just satisfaction and $5.
Well, then you're looking for too much in this world, my friend.
Yeah, probably.
So, I saw some movies.
Yeah, you were on a plane for a bit.
Yeah, I had 2 6-hour plane rides-ish. I think it was 5.5 and like 4.75 or something stupid like that. But, yeah, Alaska Airlines has a lot of movies to watch.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of movies that I wanted to watch that I just never got to. Like Shazam.
You should have watched that.
And The Greatest Showman.
The Greatest Showman is so good. You should have watched that, and you should have watched Shazam over, like, 2 of the movies that you actually did watch.
I mean, you're not wrong. So, I kind of didn't want to watch Shazam on the back of a movie seat. Or in the back of an airplane seat. They also had, like, Toy Story 4 already.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But so, I'm actually going to swap the order here. I watched Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah, that was an enjoyable movie.
Yeah, like, I really liked it. I see why people kept saying that they want a sequel out of it.
Yeah.
Because it was a super enjoyable movie.
Yeah, and visually, it was nice.
Yeah, I thought it looked super cool.
Like, story was a little convoluted, sort of, but, like...
Yes and no, but, like, you know, it didn't really have a satisfying ending, because it's definitely set up to be something more.
Yeah.
I thought kind of the story of Alita was really cool.
Yes.
And I thought all the battle stuff, like, all the fight scenes were fucking awesome.
Yeah. It was, like, the way they did it, the art style for the animation, or for the animated characters, the CG characters, and, like, even, like, her eyes and how they're, like, super anime-like, and I was just like, this is so cool. Like,
and I really liked how she kept embarrassing that one bounty hunter dude.
Yeah.
Like, the real douchey one with the sword.
Yeah.
Like, she breaks his nose and he's all upset, so then he goes after, like, the humans, and then she literally cuts his fucking face off.
Yeah.
Like, he's all about his looks, and she cuts his face off with his own sword.
It was just, that was good. Like, that movie was, it was fun, it was enjoyable, it was, like, I doubt we're gonna get a sequel, because I don't think it did good at box office at all.
I thought it did good in, like, the foreign market. Drew, can you look that up?
Sure can.
But, like, I don't think it had enough of a following to, like, have them do another one. Because it was, who made it?
Wasn't it
James?
It was James Cameron.
James Cameron was like a
producer for it.
Yeah.
But, somebody else was the director. I forget who directed it.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, I super enjoyed that. That was actually the movie that I watched on the way home.
Okay.
Now, on the way there, one of the things I watched was X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Why would you start your vacation that terribly?
Because it was free.
Okay, I guess.
It was free. It was also the last movie I watched on the way home. And so just to give you an idea, we left Wednesday night at 8 o'clock was our flight out of Philadelphia.
Okay.
So we landed in L.A. Pacific time. It was about 11 o'clock.
Okay.
For us, it was really like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. 11, 12, 1, 2.
Yeah.
Our bodies felt like it was 2 a.m. So, like, I watched that movie between, like, midnight and 2 a.m., like, my biological time. So, like, I didn't want to get real invested in anything, is what I'm saying. It's not very good. I mean, like, everyone knows that. Like, even, like, Simon Kinberg, who directed it, came out and said, like, oh, yeah, like, we didn't make a good movie. Sorry. It's the last one we're doing, and we fucked it up real bad.
Yeah.
That said, like, I thought the cast was really good.
Yeah.
Like, all of those actors play those roles really well. I thought Sophie Turner did good with the kind of garbage script and direction she was given. But it was just super fucking boring.
Yeah.
Like, nothing happened. The final, like, conflict was kind of anticlimactic. Like, the final battle on the train was kind of cool, but that was about it.
Were you able to tell, like, when things were supposed to be in outer space, but they ended up being on Earth? Because I know, like...
No, so, I mean, stuff happens in space in that movie.
I thought, like, they tried to take out a decent amount of the cosmic stuff after...
So, they definitely replaced the villains with something else. So, the villains are shapeshifters. They were 1,000% supposed to be Skrulls.
Yeah.
And I forget what species they are instead.
Okay.
But, yeah, they're shapeshifters. And, like, yeah, the movie was just... It was 2 hours of kind of, like, boring. Like, yeah. Nothing really happened. It was a lot of talk. Like, a couple of the action scenes were kind of cool, but they also didn't often make sense. I thought Xavier's character just was awful. Like, McAvoy did a great job with it, but what they did with him sucked.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was not good. And it's a shame because, like, First Class and Days of Future Past were both really good movies.
Yeah.
Apocalypse wasn't the worst, but they tried to cram too much into it.
Agreed. Yeah. I liked Apocalypse like that, for what it was, but it's definitely nowhere near those other two.
I feel like that's one of the issues with the X-Men movies in general. Like, they always try to pick that one villain that like they're going to defeat at the end of it, and they never try to make it like a sort of continual story. Like, I kind of wish Apocalypse would have been multiple movies. And not, like, Apocalypse is not something that the X-Men finish off in one go. I don't think it's ever been that way.
I mean, like, the big thing for Apocalypse was the Age of Apocalypse, where there was an entire timeline where he actually ruled the Earth because the X-Men didn't get formed early enough.
Yeah.
But I mean, in other books, like he has been dealt with quickly before. But so the problem with the Phoenix storyline, that is a very long storyline. It is not just one day she snaps and is evil.
Yeah.
So like I want to say the original Phoenix saga was like 77 to 80 or something like that. Damn. Like it played across like issues like 12 or 13 issues or something like that, and that was her getting the Phoenix Force, taking on the name of Phoenix, and, like, stuff like that.
Wasn't, like, in the cartoon, the X-Men cartoon, wasn't it, like, more than half the cartoon was her as Phoenix?
I think it was an entire season. And, like, that's the thing. Like, that is a very long story because she is actually good for a long period of time as Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then slowly turns to madness because the power is too much.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, the Dark Phoenix saga comes in. She blows up a planet of broccoli-headed people. The Shi'ar Empire wants to destroy her because it was part of their empire. Like, she dies at the end of it.
Yeah.
Doing it in just one movie, or the way they've done it, where it's, like, in both instances, in both in both series of X-Men, you've had one movie end with her displaying the Phoenix powers for no good reason. And then the following movie picks up, and she's evil.
Yeah, and it's, like... They did it worse in this one, in Age of Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix than they did in the original. Because in the original, it was an inherent power she had within her. In this one, like that, when she went into space, isn't that how she got the Phoenix Force?
So in Age of Apocalypse, she does have something like the Phoenix Force.
Yeah.
But so the thing is, like, the Phoenix Force is supposed to be a cosmic entity.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's not really a thing housed in her, but. She does, like, get it fully awakened, I guess, by, like, getting bombarded with solar rays in space.
Okay.
But they also do the same thing as in the X-Men 3, where she goes back to her home and kills a major character and has a meltdown and all this shit.
We all know who the major character is. You don't say a major character.
I'm just saying, like...
The movie was so bad, I don't think anybody cares about spoilers.
It was Mystique. They killed...
Yeah, it was... Absolutely obvious
but
that she was, even in the commercials, it was obvious she was dead.
Yeah. And I mean, half of the conflict of the movie is a misunderstanding. No, like, yeah. So it's not, she doesn't, so that's the other problem. Like, in X-Men Last Stand, she is just straight up, she has turned evil.
Yeah.
Like, in this one, it's more like schizophrenia. Like, the power is, like, corrupting her mind, and sometimes she's losing control, and other times she's, like, remorseful of what she's done.
Okay.
In this case, like, Xavier freezes everyone, and except for Mystique, while she's, like, having a conversation, trying to, like, talk her down, and, like, it's, Jean doesn't, like, throw, like, a psychic blast at Mystique to kill her. Like, she unleashes power, like, accidentally, and she dies, but because everybody else is frozen, they awaken, like, at that split second when she's murdered. So all they see is Jean murdered her and then flew away. And then that sets certain people on, like, the warpath to go kill her.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, just that whole movie was just flawed in a lot of ways. And I think they, if they're going to do, like, if Marvel is going to do the Phoenix storyline, like, they have to do it over the course of multiple movies. I think we talked about this last week or the week before. Or...
like, Phoenix has to be the end of a phase. And it has to be built up through an entire phase.
Yeah, like,
with it, multiple crossovers with the X-Men and whatever else they're gonna have.
And, like, honestly, even if it's just through X-Men movies, if they do, like, a trilogy or four X-Men movies, have her become the Phoenix at the end of the first one, have her be the Phoenix, like, be Phoenix for the whole second movie as, like, an entity of good.
Yeah.
And then, in the third movie, have that power corrupt her. Like,
yeah.
That's how you have to build up to it. Don't have it be this weird, like, shock and back and forth, and because that's not how that,
mm-hmm.
like, no.
No.
And also, yeah. Don't make it this weird inherent, because they did the exact same thing as they did in The Last Stand, that everyone fucking hated that. But it was literally, she, as a child, had psychic issues. Like, she could not control her powers. I forget exactly what it caused as a child in The Last Stand. But in this one, it caused the death of her mother.
It killed both her. I think it killed her parents as well.
Yeah. So
in Last Stand.
So in this one, it her she unintentionally causes a car accident that kills her mother.
No, I'm pretty sure it was exactly that. She causes a car accident and killed her parents.
And like, I honestly don't know enough about like Jean Grey's backstory to know if that's part of her actual like comic history. But it just doesn't work in the fucking movies, because then it makes everybody look like an asshole in these movies. Because, so her dad then doesn't want her anymore because she's a monster. So Xavier takes her, lies to her, and puts mental blocks in her brain so that her powers are, like, subdued.
Yeah.
Which I think is also what they did in Last Stand.
Yeah.
And it's like, that movie sucked. Everyone hated it. Why did you make the same fucking movie again?
Yeah. that's insane.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get into these, but I also watched Aladdin and Rampage. Both of them significantly fucking better than Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. And Rampage wasn't good.
Rampage was fun.
It was fun.
The monkey kept flipping him off. He played dead at the end and flipped him off again. No, it was great.
I'm not saying it was bad.
George was fantastic.
I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying it wasn't that great.
I don't know. Man, fucking Jeffrey Dean Morgan was great. It's a fucking cowboy, government shadow agent, whatever. Yeah. Joe Manganiello was in it for 13 seconds.
It was the dumbest cameo ever.
He was in it, he was a badass, and then he just got fucking eaten by a 30-foot wolf.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
It's worth watching. It is so over-the-top stupid, but it's great.
It's an absolute action, like, popcorn movie, but...
Huey,
like...
from The Boys is in it, in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So The Rock is a primatologist in this movie.
Right.
Working at, like, the San Diego Zoo or something like that, with the primates. And he's walking, like, the primate enclosure with, like... two new hires, one of them being Huey, who is kind of a douchebag, but like, not like a douchey douchebag, but more of a, I'm gonna like tell like these amped up stories about myself to try and impress this girl. And then he like, you know, rolls up into a ball and cries because he thinks the gorilla is gonna eat him.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that George was just playing a joke on him.
Yeah.
Because George is funny.
That move. But I mean, you probably could have watched Shazam or The Greatest Showman over Dark Phoenix and just had a much better time.
I mean, look, probably, but it was, like I said, it was like midnight. And
what better thing to do?
He made bad choices because he was tired.
But what better thing to do than to watch a fucking musical about a circus at midnight when you want to go to sleep?
Also, it was partly time constraints. Dark Phoenix was shorter than The Greatest Showman. And it was literally, Dark Phoenix ended right after the plane landed.
Okay.
So, like, while we were waiting to get up to the gate, the movie was ending.
Okay.
So, like, it worked out perfectly, whereas I wouldn't have actually gotten to finish The Greatest Showman.
And that's when you just start it back up when you get on a plane and finish it.
Yeah, but 4 days later, like...
Look, that I love The Greatest Showman. That is my, like, I go and listen to that album all the time.
Nerd.
It's so good.
I mean, I don't have anything against it. It's just I saw Dark Phoenix and I'm like, everyone always says how bad this is. I'm not paying for it in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't see the Dark Phoenix.
Alita Battle Angel made $85 million domestic, $319 million foreign.
And how much did it make, or how much was its budget?
$170 million.
So I mean, it's a success.
And it made very, very, very barely.
I mean, it made $400 million global
on a $340 million budget.
That's still successful.
Well. So it made $85 million on a $340 million budget domestic.
Also, did it have much of a? I don't remember it being marketed all that well here.
It was marketed a lot.
Was it
fucking? Yeah. They talked about it on Preston and Steve.
That's like, how I saw it
a fucking million times.
Oh, that's right. You went to the screening.
I went
right?
to the screening.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember the marketing for it, but it made money, and I feel like it's one of those movies that will make money, like. In, like, rentals and DVD sales and all, that, like, we might get a sequel. It's definitely not a guaranteed thing, but I feel like it's at least in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think so, though.
Look, I mean, we've gotten worse sequels.
Yeah, look at Dark Phoenix.
Exactly.
But we're not getting a sequel from that.
No, because that whole fucking universe ended.
And Apocalypse wasn't that bad, so it makes... And they were building that... This is different. This is an animated film from a manga that people don't really know of, that the normies don't really know of.
It was the worst weekend for a President's Day opening weekend in 15 years.
That's rough.
When that movie came out.
But honestly, like, so. That is honestly, like, I'm not surprised that it didn't make a ton of movie domestically. Not surprised that it made $300 million foreign, because that is the sort of movie that, like, the Chinese and Japanese markets would love.
Yeah.
So. But that is probably a show.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Cool. So if you guys would like to find any more of our stuff, you can head over to www.onequest.com. You can also help us out by supporting us over at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with your dollars, you can support us by liking us, subscribing to us, rating us, all that fun stuff on your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all these other places, basically wherever you want to get your podcasts from. We also have social media. We're facebook.com/onequestonline or @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. We have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/onequestvideo. And you can send us emails, questions, comments, concerns. Tell Richie that you like Monster Hunter, I guess, to social@one-quest.com. And yeah, that'll do it. We'll be back next week with something different. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Please.
Bye.
Sorry for all the coughing, too.